want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello.
Everybody, to the best of Don and Mike, coming to you coast to coast, nationwide, via the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, and I'll tell you why I jumped right in, because we have a full, big, stuffed enchilada plate for you today on the best of Don and Mike. So let's jump right into it. Oh, by the way, good Monday afternoon. Let's jump right into it, though. Tony Perkins visited Don and Mike. He was on Good Morning America. I don't know if he still is anymore. But anyway, he was on the best of Don and Mike.
Playing Russian roulette because Tony Perkins is on one of these lines on hold.
We're not sure who we're going to talk to first.
Tony?
Hello, Don and Mike.
That's not Tony Perkins.
This ain't Tony Perkins. Hello?
No.
Hello?
Yeah, I'd like to say, I don't think you sound like New Astor.
All right, that's not Tony Perkins.
Hello, Tony? Tony?
That is a deadline.
Okay.
Tony is not there.
Tony?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay. From Good Morning America, Tony Perkins.
How you doing, Tony?
What a system you got there. I'm great. How are you?
All right, now the first thing we have to say to you, shame on you, Tony Perkins, that when we were thrilled that you gave us that little plug on Good Morning America.
Uh-huh.
So yesterday our producer, Broyhill Gadget, he calls up Tony Perkins. He says, hey, Don and Mike would like to talk to you to say thanks for the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Then he told me when he called you today to set this thing up that... You, why would you think that we were going to use this opportunity to bust your...
I didn't really think that, but, you know, I've listened to the show for so long, all of a sudden I just realized, wait a minute, I know what these guys do, what am I doing?
Not in a million years, Tony.
Not to you, Tony. I want to tell you, Al Roker has done for us. You are the only national weather guy that's ever said our name on TV.
Of course, you know. We're a good guy, Tony.
Big fans, Tony.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I'm a big fan of you guys. I've listened to you for years and years and years.
And I should tell you that Tony and I went to American University together, and you know, you've done good, and we're all very proud of you. Congratulations on getting this this incredible gig with Charlie Gibson and Diane Sawyer. Oh.
Not bad company to be in.
Pretty cool.
All right, a bunch of questions about that, Tony.
Okay.
How come they don't let you do more stuff on the show?
I think that we're going through a period where they're easing me into things. During the last few weeks, they've let me do a little bit more. And in fact, I just had a meeting about this the other day. Because my thing is to get out in the field and have fun and meet people and all that kind of thing. So.
You don't mind that. You actually like going around the country and doing the traveling, and you're doing a lot of that, right?
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Okay. Diane Sawyer.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Diane Sawyer.
Calm down, Rob.
Now, I know that, you know, you're going to say what you have to say, but I'll ask the question anyway. You know, what's she like? You know, there's a word that comes to mind when I think of Diane Sawyer.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Charming.
Starts.
Talented.
No, yeah. Starts with one of those letters, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Before that, let me ask you this. Do you miss Morris Jones?
The question is, do you miss Morris Jones?
Oh,
every
man.
Night, Tony.
Don came in here with tears, Tony.
Hell, you should see the Ken doll they replaced him with on Channel 5. My God. That guy's a load.
Okay. He's auditioning on that show, Third Rock from the Sun. To be the real big giant head.
So Diane Sawyer.
I can't speak for Channel 5 anymore. Yes, Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer is a society girl. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, I would say that.
Mm-hmm. How do you, a young urbanite, mesh with, you know,
good question.
The upper crusty Diane Sawyer? And I better crusty.
Urbanite, I like that.
Young urbanite. Young successful urbanite.
Sounds like a rap group, actually. Diane, I get along great with Diane, and I'm not just saying this.
Oh,
I really
on.
Am not. She is very, very nice. She is down to earth. She's very loose. You know, before the show, she's dancing around and singing Motown songs and stuff. So she's very, very cool. We get along great.
And Charlie, how do you get along with Charlie Gibson?
I get along. I actually have known Charlie for a long time. I knew him. I used to work at ABC as a desk assistant like 15 years ago, and I knew him then.
Is that an AU internship that you had there?
No, actually, it was after AU.
Oh, really? That's kind of sad, Tony, that you were a desk assistant after 8 years. But that's all right. We won't discuss that.
You ever spend any time with Elizabeth Vargas?
Not aside from on the air, no.
Oh.
Well, do you like her?
Do I?
Really?
Hey, you know, she's not doing Michael Douglas anymore.
Well, I never knew she was. I didn't know anything
she
about
was, and now Michael Douglas is getting it on with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah. I thought Michael Douglas was married.
I don't think he's married anymore.
Not
anymore.
Don't you know what he told his wife? He was screwing around on her with all those other girls, and he told her that he had a sexual dysfunction.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
You know, he was like, he was obsessed with sex.
That's right.
His wife didn't believe him. He divorced him.
And then Buzz had a story yesterday on the news that Michael Douglas was on an island off
in
the coast
Spain.
Of Spain.
Right.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones. Wow.
Michael Douglas has to do the best he can as long as he can because, you know, the looks are starting to fade.
Sure.
And fame and all that. So
listen, you guys are Good Morning America. Now you got the whole new crew in there.
Mm-hmm.
How tough was it to clean up the mess from those the last show, that Lisa McCree and that guy with the glasses?
Kevin Newman was his name.
Right. How tough has it been to clean up that mess? You guys are doing better in the ratings, right?
Yeah, ratings are good. Ratings are up. Congratulations on your ratings, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Tony.
Ratings are up about 26%. They cleaned that up before I got there. They hosed out the studio, sprayed disinfectant, and then we came in and did our thing.
Tony, the pressure of being a national weatherman?
I think in some ways it's less pressure than when I was doing it there in Washington because I've only got 30 seconds to do the whole nation, and, you know, obviously you can't do everything, so what can people expect?
And you really don't have to know the weather, do you? You just look at that cartoon map and point at the regions of the country.
The cartoon map.
You have a little cartoon thunderstorm, your cartoon sunshine, and, it's pretty cool. But you really, you like going out into the field and doing that more than actually saying it's going to be sunny here and cloudy there, right?
Absolutely. That's why I took the job, to get out and meet people and do fun stuff.
Would there be any chance when one of the two main ones, when they take any time off, any chance that you could slide into that seat?
That subject has not come up.
Well, you know, really, what you might want to do is take Charlie Gibson out one night and just get him really loaded. That would be a real, real good move for you. And then Charlie doesn't strike me as the type of guy that probably knocks a few back. You just take him out and then put him on the unable to perform list.
Yeah, he seems pretty straight-laced to me. I don't know if that plan would work or not.
Have you been able to socialize with Charlie and Diane at all?
Not really. Partly because I think of the hours that everyone works. During the week, there's not that much time to socialize. And then on the weekends, I actually come back to Washington. I still, you know, my wife is in Washington. I've still got family and friends there. So
you are alone in Manhattan all week long?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Oh, man, alone really? In Manhattan. Sex in the City.
Imagine that.
Fantastic.
You know, that'll make your marriage last a lot longer than what spending a week at a time away from your wife. How long have you been married, Tony?
I've been married 4.5 years.
How come, she got a career going here or something?
Yes, she does. But, it's kind of, that's the hardest part of this whole thing, because we do miss each other.
And you actually commute back and forth. I mean, do you stay the whole week up there? Do you come back during the week?
No, he stays up there all week, I bet.
No, I spend the week here and then come back to Washington.
That's cool. And so you're happy with the gig?
I'm happy with the gig. I'm looking forward to doing more. I hope that comes about relatively soon. And that's already started to happen during the last few weeks. And it's fun. It's a good gig. I have to say, in Sacramento, I was a little humbled because, you know, I get there, and literally, I'm not making this up, the first three people I meet, they say, you're that guy from Good Morning America. I say, yeah. They said, oh, I know who you are because Don and Mike have talked about you. They were more excited about the fact that you had talked about me than the fact that I was on the show.
I only wish the Good Morning America cameras had been there for our Las Vegas-style show.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
Oh, my God. the one thing I've seen you do on that show, when they put you in a situation, because you're a very affable guy, very, very likable, very good with people, very good with the man on the street. You know Tony's best at?
Right.
Tony's best, like when he worked at Channel 5, going out on the street and busted a guy's balls, but the guy who is having his balls busted
thinks he's being complimented.
He wouldn't know that he's having his balls busted.
Absolutely.
That's like your best talent.
Yeah.
You notice that. That's good. Thank you.
But I've noticed recently, like, that when there's a disaster or something, they send you out to the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to stand there, and of course, it's a sad situation, so
right.
you have to be all down and stuff.
Right.
How do you do that, man? How do you go out, and, like, when people are killed and there's a big wreck or something, you got to go. How do you get it together for that?
It's very weird, because you wouldn't think I would like like that, having the comedy background and all that kind of stuff, but your adrenaline gets going. The two situations I've been in that were real rough were the tornadoes in Oklahoma and the brush fires in Florida. And you're right, I mean, people have lost everything, and it's terrible. But the fact that you're there, you're showing the devastation that has happened and showing what it's actually like, your adrenaline kind of gets going. In a way, it's kind of a strange thing, I guess, but I don't enjoy meeting people when they're down and out, but I enjoy that process of covering that type of thing. Maybe because it's so different, I don't know.
It's the same kind of adrenaline that Buzz gets when he runs in here and tells us that a major celebrity has passed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. He's kind of excited about it.
Sure, it's sick, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of cool Good Morning America clothes now? I mean, like stuff with logos on it?
A hat.
Just a hat?
All right.
I swear, that's it. They've given me a hat.
Well, you know, it's the budget over there.
You ever, when you come back on the weekend, you ever come back and turn on Channel 5 and just throw your head back and laugh? And go, man, that used to be me, Channel 5. Never? Never laugh?
No, I don't.
Never? No. You ever call Sue Palka up and go, hey, Sue, it's me.
I saw Sue Palka last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So you walk around, you know, just kind of, you know, you move your foot along the carpet and just go, Sue, how are you doing? You made it big, Tony.
Hey, listen, I know you won't tell us the exact figure, but they pay you a lot of dough to be on Good Morning America?
It's a very rewarding experience.
Ah. Translates, he's making loads of dough.
Way to go, Tony.
Loads of dough. And what kind of deal do you have? Is it a firm contract? How many years?
Well, I mean, you know, how firm is it in network TV? The guys before me had, not Spencer, but Kevin and Lisa had firm contracts, and that lasted eight months, I guess.
So you have it in perspective.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be there for a good long time.
Yeah, even if they can the other two, you'll be there. You know, you'll be a fixture there, I think.
Well, I hope so. I'm having fun doing it so far. It's pretty cool.
And what about, here's the one thing about Good Morning America.
I did want to give Tony one idea, though, that I think might really work well and really help, because I think you've got the personality. This is an original idea that I've always wanted to tell somebody that does this. What you want to do is you want to get people that are, say, over 100 years old, and show their ages on TV, and then get them to start sending you pictures and stuff like that. It'll be really, really good. Like, get a jam company to sponsor it.
You guys, you're obviously very competitive with the Today Show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. How come you want to do this? Now, you guys are moving to a new studios, right?
Yes, in September.
Okay. Don't you, frankly, think that that's already been done? The idea of, like, being down in Times Square and having all the goobers come by when you're out? And are you going to have to go outside and do the weather?
Yeah, there will be times where I'll be outside and I'll do the weather. Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather just be insulated from people and just be alone in your studio?
Well, I mean, it depends. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think, you know, when you see other folks doing that kind of thing, a lot of times it's just, they're just kind of standing out there and people are yelling and screaming and that's all it is, which is nothing significant if you ask me. I mean, if I got the chance to actually really interact with folks and talk to them a little bit, I think that could be very interesting because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, there's also a chance you'll lose your right hand if you do
that.
Well,
that's
too.
Very true. I will have heavily armed security guards around me. But you know what? I mean, I think that that thought has actually entered my head. Well, you know, are people going to say you're just doing what the Today Show is doing? They'll say that anyway. But the fact that CBS is going to be doing the same thing when Bryant Gumbel gets there, that's just the way they do the morning shows now. Everyone feels like that's what you have to do to jazz it up and make it exciting. So it's not that one person is copying another one. It's just that everyone's saying, hey, this is the way to go now.
ABC has not asked you to gain 200 pounds, have they? So people might think they're watching Al Roker.
I don't have to gain 200 pounds, and we're trying to stop my hair loss.
Oh. Beautiful. Tony, last thing, what time do you have to get up in the morning to do that show?
I actually get up later than I used to get up for Channel 5. I get up at 4:15.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, sleeping in.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
So then when you're done at 9, sometimes you guys have to redo the show for the West Coast, like exactly. If something happens?
Exactly. You do West Coast updates.
But actually, the labor and the hours are actually better than they were at Channel 5?
Yeah, you know what? It's for me, it's a standard. I always tell people it's a standard 8-hour day. It just starts much earlier.
All right.
I'm in the office till about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Okay, and finally, I know I said this as a joke before, but I mean this seriously now. What message would you have for Morris Jones if he's listening right now?
Morris, good luck.
Tony, you're such a good guy. You're so wrong to think we'd ever bust your balls, man. We're huge fans of yours. That's no lie.
And I tell you, I speak for a lot of people that went to school with you. Tony's always been a great guy, and we're very proud of you. Congratulations on this great gig. Nobody deserves it more. I told you that in private, and I'll tell you that right now, because I know you deserve it, and it's a great gig for you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really miss you guys. We have to get you guys on the air here in
Tony,
New York.
Tony, you're a beautiful man, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
Hey, listen, thanks for the plug, Tony.
My pleasure. I'll do it again sometime.
All right, beautiful. Thank you.
All righty.
All right,
bye-bye.
All right, so he's a pretty decent guy.
Oh, great guy. Mm-hmm.
Tony Perkins.
Great guy.
Normally, somebody that we know has any level of success,
right.
We're very resentful, and we immediately hate them for having any success, but it's pretty hard to hate Tony Perkins.
No, Tony's been spent a long time in Washington, too, and he's really a good guy. We appreciate the plug, really.
Yeah, he deserves it. Right. He's a hell of a lot better than Al Roker, for goodness sake.
I like the question about getting to ask you to gain 200 pounds.
We will be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
You don't forget a thing like Siamese twins.
I believe they prefer to be called conjoined twins.
And hillbillies prefer to be called sons of the soil. But it ain't gonna happen.
The Don and Mike Show.
Two hot and hairy bear studs. Don and Mike.
That's right. And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. Today we have such a full plate, I don't even need to talk that much. Now, when Don starts taking calls from listeners, and they start calling in by the thousands, anything can happen. And it certainly did on the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
You're doing the egg thing wrong. You're supposed to fry it on the dashboard of a car, and that's how your dog dies.
Oh, is that how the commercial originally went, hot enough to fry an egg?
Go do it on your stupid intern's car dashboard and make him...
Maybe tomorrow we do it on a car.
There you go.
Yeah.
Whose car, though?
Mike the Goofy Intern.
Mike's car.
Mike the Goofy Intern.
Does he have a car, or does he come to work on a bicycle?
Yeah, it's one of those old and like 1900 bicycles with the... real big wheels. Yeah, I think, you know what, you're absolutely right. Hot enough to fry... No. The commercial, now that I think about it, says, hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Right, hot enough to fry
a dog's brain.
And then the picture of the German Shepherd in the car panting.
I'm pretty sure it was the dashboard of the car you fry the egg on.
No, but the commercial that we're talking about, which originally ran like 10 years ago in Baltimore,
right? The commercial slogan is, hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk, hot enough to fry a dog brain.
That's in the car when
Wait, excuse me. We're talking about the commercial and what it says. Do you understand that?
I understand.
The commercial says, hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk, hot enough to fry a dog's brain.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? Like, you don't believe us?
Okay.
Because they have the dog in the car.
Yeah, the dog's in the car, which means you don't leave your dog in the car when it's hot.
Right.
But it has nothing
hot
to do
enough to fry an egg in the car.
Right. Okay.
Haven't you ever heard the expression "hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk"?
Maybe.
Is that a child or an animal I hear?
My child. I'm in the car.
Do you have the air conditioning on?
Yes, I do.
You would never leave that child alone, would you?
I certainly wouldn't.
Very good.
But just one more time. The commercial says, hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk, hot enough to fry a dog's brain.
Okay.
Well, why are you, I mean, did you see the commercial?
I thought, yes, and I thought it was... The egg was fried on the dashboard of the car. That's how I thought it was.
No, it was not fried on the dashboard
They don't even show an egg in the commercial.
Okay, well, I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
They just show a dog that's panting.
Sorry.
I'm wrong,
but it would still be funny.
But you don't believe you're wrong, do you?
No, I don't.
See, I can tell that by your tone. You don't admit you're wrong very often, do you?
Sometimes.
But you don't very often. That was my question.
Probably not.
You are wrong about this, though.
You'd have to ask my husband that question. I don't know.
Is your husband still living?
As of now, he is.
When's the last time you gave him
a... Might have been a month ago.
Really?
No,
not
I think,
too long ago.
I think you're wrong about that.
Really, that surprises me because you sound kind of frigid.
That's not very nice.
Well, we're just making an observation here.
I mean, you sound like a very nice lady. It just sounds to me like you're probably very uptight in bed.
Just tired, that's all.
You're tired?
Tired. You know, kids, dogs wear me out every day.
Not too tired, though, to call and try to contradict America's favorite radio host.
No, never.
Yeah, yeah. You were wrong about that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're wrong. That's
can
okay.
You know, I mean, we're just, you know how petty we are, right?
Yeah,
is there any outside chance you could just say, Don and Mike, I'm sorry because I was wrong?
Don and Mike, I apologize. I was wrong. You're right.
Thank you. All right, very nice. Thank you.
You've made us so happy.
Thank you.
But it would still be funny because it would really
No. Let's just end it with your apology that we accept.
Yes, and because you said that last thing, we need that
apology.
We need
to hear it again, please.
One more time.
Please.
Don and Mike, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. You were right.
There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Keep giving your husband those treats.
I'll try.
He deserves it.
Okay.
And take care of those children.
I will.
How old is that child? Sounds like an animal. How old is that child?
A year and a half.
Oh, a year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay. More attention paid to that child, less attention to the radio.
What is the wolf boy's name?
Okay. I got to go.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Young Wolfen.
I'm sure that she was glad that she made that call.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Her and Mowgli.
Yeah, I'm just calling because I think it's just hot enough to fry an egg. No, that's it. Hot enough to fry an egg, hot enough to fry a dog's brain.
I am going to tell you that you may be right. There's nothing about a dashboard and stuff, but I think, hot enough to fry an egg, hot enough to fry a dog's brain. He might be right about that.
I'm going to stick with the sidewalk. I mean,
wait, it's so old.
You know, we used to play the tape on our old morning zoo show like 10 years ago all the time. Hello, Don and Mike. Here's a guy who says he saw the commercial. Hello, Brian? Brian?
Brian's phone is fried.
Brian? All right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yes, hi. Yeah, this guy is exactly right. The commercial opens with an egg frying in the pan. You hear it sizzling, and then the guy comes on and says, there's no mention of a sidewalk.
How can you be so sure?
Me?
Yeah.
Because I remember the commercial. I grew up watching.
So did I. Kiss me high.
Kiss his eye.
Hey.
I like
my kiss my eye.
Hello.
That might be a good new one.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, welcome to the smallest show on your dial. Hello there. Hi.
Hey, were your guys' eggs refrigerated or were they room temperature?
It's a good question.
Robbie? I think they were refrigerated.
Refrigerated.
Okay, see, you got to do it with them room temperature.
Now, wait a minute. Charles Broyles is coming. Gadget has come in here.
Yes, hello, Gadge.
Hey. I ran them under warm water first so that they weren't any bit of chillness to them.
Hey, that Gadget, Gadget
once
ran
again,
them.
Your grasp of the English language is fantastic.
You like that?
Gadget ran them under warm water.
So there weren't any bit of chillness to them.
Is that what he said?
That's exactly what he said. I like quoting him when he has one like that. Did you hear that? He ran them under cold warm water so there wasn't any bit of chillness to them.
That's what our Wolf Boy producer said. Wolfen Broyhill. Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike,
hey,
you and your family, let's talk about the game.
Right.
Hey, my porn name would be Snoopy Hawthorne.
Snoopy Hawthorne.
All right, hello. Don and Mike show.
Clever name for a dog, too.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Yes, I understand that. I've listened to you most of the evening.
Thank you.
You're talking about frying dogs' brains?
Yes, sir. Yeah, fantastic delicacy.
Isn't that fun, Mr. Happy Hour?
Yeah, I own three wolf hybrids, and I keep them in the house.
Very smart.
The air conditioning is set at 65 degrees when it gets this hot.
Well, thank you, genius. That's very smart.
Because they can't take it.
Right. Right. That's kind of the whole point. Yeah.
So I guess you wouldn't leave them out in the backyard where the still is.
No. I keep them inside. It's too much of a cardiovascular system.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I got a couple of wolves.
Hello.
And they're in the house with me.
Hello there.
Hello.
All right, well, come on.
He hung up on me.
Hello.
Hey, this is Greg. Am I on the air?
Yes, Greg, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm sorry. I heard you talking about the dog and the fried egg, et cetera. Well, I actually know the guy that wrote that commercial, and I'm not bragging
about it. I don't believe you.
What's that?
I must say it's officially the first time since we've come back from vacation that my crap detector has gone off.
No, well, I swear to God, it's the first time I ever called. I pulled over, I turned off the radio, and I tell you the guy's name off the air, but not on the air. His initials are M.H. The Humane Society actually gave this guy awards for this actually, you know, printed.
Mark Hamill never did any commercial writing.
Mark Harmon,
I agree. But the only reason
No. It was Money
King of the MH.
King of the MH.
Give him credit on that one.
You know, Michael Hunt.
The greatest MH.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
This is Rommel Sandpiper.
Oh, is that your dog's name and your street
name? That's my dog's name and my first street.
Okay, very good.
Good name, good neo-Nazi name for your dog, too.
2 hours ago on the show, though. Hello?
Yeah, I got a new poor name for you. How about Sergeant Lacey?
All right, hello. Dynamite, hello.
2 hours. Hey, Dynamite.
Turn it down, please.
Okay, yeah, Dynamite, the sidewalk was implied.
Pardon me?
The sidewalk was implied. I left the fried egg on the sidewalk. They never said sidewalk. The sidewalk was implied.
It's another confirmation call that sidewalk was not mentioned, and I'm afraid we might have to give up the ghost on that one.
Kiss my eye. Oh, my God. Now, shoe. Oh, man. Come on, get.
That's funnier. That's a lot funnier now that I'm 40.
Hello. Hello, last call. Hello, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I was actually calling to tell Don. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Yeah.
And you used to talk about Frida and how when you first met Frida, that she just wanted to be friends with you, and you said you had enough friends.
Right.
And it took me forever and a day to really come to grips with that because I thought, oh, that's really obnoxious. I finally understand. I met the man who made me understand when you have enough friends.
Oh, okay. So they had a similar situation with the man who wanted a serious relationship with you.
In my case, what it was it was the way that I got Frida, because Frida's a good-looking woman, and she had plenty of guys that were coming after her. So I asked her out on a date, and she said, no, I just want to be friends. Uh-huh. And so I figured no guy had ever turned her down, like, for that offer, because normally a guy would say he'd be friends because he would think that he would take it to the next step. You know, you'd give me just a chance, open the door and woman. I said, no, you know what? I got plenty of friends. I only want to date you, so I'll see you later.
Which is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, not really. I've never had a lot of friends. But then a couple days later, the phone rings and she called me up. She's intrigued by it. She was intrigued by the fact that there was a man that met her,
right,
asked her out. She gave him the line about being friends, and I said, you know, hell no.
Right.
Forget it. Now we've been married almost 18 years, and we're still not friends.
Well, that gives me hope. Something to look forward to.
No, we're best friends.
Thank you.
But thanks.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I got some Sopranos news for you.
Really? Sopranos news? What could that be?
In the Esquire, they said that Mikey P. was picked up for his second year of his option contract.
Mikey P.?
Right. Got shot.
The guy, which guy? The guy.
Mike, they got shot.
You mean the guy that had the neck brace on?
No.
The guy that got shot in his bathtub?
Was Mikey P. Junior Soprano's right-hand man?
No. He's the guy that was saying all the people that had cancer when the boss was dying in the hospital.
Huh?
You know what sentence you just said? You said he was the guy that was saying all the people that had cancer when the boss was dying. You know. What the hell does that mean?
You know, it's tough to lose us on a topic like The Sopranos, which we love.
Okay. Who is Mikey P? What member of the family is he?
He was the... He's one of the killers. He's a minor character.
They're all killers.
Okay, yeah, and there's many minor characters, and a lot of them are killers.
All right, in the hospital scene, it was repeated.
Hold on, I'm going to ask you a question. This might clear it up. Was he part of... Tony Soprano's crew?
Yes.
And was he the guy that was at the coffee machine that didn't like the coffee machine?
I didn't see that episode.
All right, was he the guy that got roughed up and had the neck brace on?
No.
Does he wear jogging suits all the time?
No.
Is he a young guy or an old guy?
Young guy. Stocky, dark black hair.
Is he the guy that sold crystal meth to Tony's daughter?
No.
Young or old?
Young.
How or where was he shot?
30-ish. He was shot.
That is the, you know who that is? That is the right-hand guy for Junior Soprano. That's
Wait. Is that the guy that was shot when he went out jogging?
Yeah, and he went, and they were chasing him down and shooting him out of the woods.
There's no way that guy could live.
Well, he got picked up on his second year of his option contract.
Did we ever conclude in that episode that he was indeed dead?
Now, that's where they shot the guy, and remember the one guy got poison ivy real bad
that's
on
right, exactly.
Oh,
right.
He had to be dead. They shot him about a million times.
They chased him with the nephew, right? The nephew
and
chased
no, no, no.
him.
Nephew. No, it wasn't the nephew.
No, he's definitely dead. Don't you remember when his wife was interviewed on TV then, and then she said, oh, he just went out for a jog. No, that guy's
right,
dead.
That guy. Right, that guy.
I think he's dead on The Sopranos, though.
Well, that's what I thought, but his second option year got picked up.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, all right, thank you.
All right.
You just read the text, not just the headline.
Hello, here's Brad in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike?
Hi, Bobby.
Buddy!
You know, it's hard to F up a topic that we love so much, like The Sopranos, but that last guy managed to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't know what really happened right. and, you know, who Mikey P. is. I think Mikey P. is the nephew. I think that might be the guy. I don't know.
I did read that they hired some actress to play Tony's sister.
Oh, great.
And that they're going to bring her into the show now, his grown-up sister.
That could have potential.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about CBS Summer of Sam.
No.
Tony Soprano's nephew plays a gay porn movie house owner in that, and it's pretty cool. Pretty believable.
Which guy is Tony Soprano's nephew?
He's the hothead that shoots the guy in the meat locker.
Oh, okay, that guy.
See, that's how easy it is, okay?
And
when you're talking Soprano, did I make it clear?
Yeah, and that's the guy with the neck brace.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the guy whose friend got shot in the eye in the bathtub when he
absolutely.
Went to his house.
Going with the slutty girlfriend.
Right.
Right.
Right. The slutty girlfriend who later worked as the waitress in the restaurant that is owned by Tony Soprano's friend, whose restaurant Tony Soprano burned down.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's right. She works in the new. She got a job in the new restaurant.
In the new restaurant.
At the end of the season.
Right.
That's right.
Now we got you. Summer of Sam Huff.
They came up on the short end of the stick.
No, nobody went to see Summer of Sam.
No, that movie really tanked.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, the nephew's name is Christopher, and
that's right.
In the tub was Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan.
Yeah, you're
friend.
Right. Those are the names, right? Kristen and Brendan.
And everybody wanted to see Brendan get whacked too, because nobody liked Brendan.
And he got shot right in the eye.
Oh, and the slutty girlfriend was the record producer that was hanging all over the Puff Daddy character.
And I believe that the guy that shot Brendan was Mikey P.
And that's Junior's driver.
Right.
Right.
And yes.
The episode that I saw just last week, it was where Tony walks up to Mikey P.
In the car, when he's in the car.
And he's got like a parking ticket on the front of his car. He goes, hey, you got to watch out for these tickets. And he pulls him out of the car and just starts beating the crap
That's
out
right.
of him.
Absolutely.
Don't you ever mess in my territory with my crew.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then he's supposed to die. Mikey P. is supposed to die at the end of the year.
I think he did die.
Yeah, I don't know.
He got smoked in that creek running through
right,
the woods.
Right,
right,
exactly.
Okay, beautiful. At least there's somebody we understand on the telephone. Thank you, my friend.
Later.
All right, bye-bye. Later. Later for you. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hi, do you guys, you know the guy with the hair and the gun from The Sopranos?
Cool. There you go. Thank you. Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Right, well, I'm trying. The guy with the black hair.
You know, the Italian guy.
The gun.
You know, the Italian guy that kills everybody. Hello, Dynamite Show.
The hair and the gun.
Hello. Hello there.
Oh, man.
Hello, radio station.
Hey, is this Don and Mike?
Right.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, it is possible that Mikey P. could come back.
I'd like to hear why.
How could that be?
Well, because the girlfriend, she was saying he's missing.
Yeah, you're right.
They were saying that he's missing.
You're right. But didn't those two members of Tony's crew, like, shoot him a million times out of that
shot
field.
Him, but I think they also...
They both emptied the guns, but he kept on moving.
And because of the poison ivy.
Really?
And because of the poison ivy...
Right.
They got out of there, remember? Because the one guy, our favorite crew member...
And that's the guy that stole the coffee pot out of the Starbucks where they were looking...
He's great.
Where they were looking for the guy that stole Tony's son's...
Right.
...teacher's car.
You know, if he does come back, that's a continuity flaw, because really, in the real world of those gangland killings, they wouldn't just leave the guy... Out
right.
in the middle
they would have,
of the
like,
woods.
Taken his body and chopped it up or something,
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, or dumped him, you know, in a lake somewhere or something.
So you think that the guy may be alive, really?
I think that they're going to bring him back, and he's going to have a for Tony.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Take care.
I wouldn't think that would be bad. I kind of liked it, though, when that guy got wasted at the
Me too.
Hello. Don and
Hello?
Mike.
Hello.
Yes, I have a problem with your show. I don't like what you're perpetrating on America.
Right. Hello, Don, in my show. Hello there.
Buzz, would you like to play croquet on my grass patch?
No. Oh, it's this guy, Buzz.
No, thank you.
Hey, Jorge. Is this Jorge?
Yes, Don.
Jorge's back. It's been a long time since you visited, but I'm interrupting. You go ahead and visit with Buzz.
Banned me from the show.
Banned right. You from the show? Buzz, enough time has passed.
Thank you, Jorge.
Goodbye, Jorge. That guy loves Buzz.
I don't know why.
I mean, really loves him. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Buddy.
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 Body,
lady, body.
Body, 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 body.
Are you a girl, right?
I'm a girl.
It's a girl, okay.
She's called before.
Casting news. Judd Nelson has been replaced by Monty Python's Eric Idle.
In what regard?
In Suddenly Susan, he's the new boss.
Okay, thanks for that bulletin.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm from Albuquerque, man. They just interrupted your show, man.
Why, man?
I don't know. There's some kind of emergency... the broadcast crap. They just cut in right in the middle of the show, man.
Emergency. Yes, the EBC. Stand by for the emergency broadcast crap.
Why don't they do that at the end of the show or during a commercial? They're always doing this stuff.
Well, have you ever thought about the fact that there may be some sort of weather emergency?
Turn the radio on. Let me hear what they're doing there.
They stopped it now. They just... You guys came back on. I missed a good minute of the show.
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
All right.
Seriously.
Oh, there's so many idiots that call us every day.
I had a celebrity sighting in the grocery store this morning. I saw it, and I felt very gay. I'll bring it in tomorrow if you want. I don't know whether you're interested.
Who?
In that. It's Leah Remini was on the cover of, I think it's Woman's Day, and it was her diet secrets.
Oh.
And I sat there, and I looked at it, went back to my stuff, looked at it again, and I just kind of grabbed it and put it down on the conveyor belt because it had Leah Remini there. You know,
oh, that's gay.
We were just talking to her, and it was her little diet secrets. And then I looked inside, and it's a picture of her, one little picture of her with Kevin James, and then her diet with the pictures of the food, which is, you know, obviously she had nothing to do with. And then there are the individual pictures of her exercise routine as
ooh.
She's wearing. But they're not.
That I would like to see.
I will bring it in. I'll bring it in for you tomorrow.
Hello.
Hey, get it in any grocery store.
That's not gay.
Woman's Day.
Yeah, but no, you did it because Leah Remini's so hot.
I know. It's a nice cover. Very nice cover with her posing and that kind of skinny with a bare midriff. Yeah, looking nice.
Man, is she hot. I'm so sad I had such bad breath that day that we met her at the airport.
I don't think she noticed.
Oh, no, I think she did.
Really?
I think my breath was unavoidable that day, I think. Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, first I want to say you all rock down here in Mobile, Alabama.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and also I wanted to tell you all that I'm calling my cable company right now to get HBO because I have to see this Sopranos show.
That's worth getting HBO just to see that show.
Pretty good.
Just to see that show.
Absolutely.
Just because of you all.
Plus, you get to see Babar every day.
Yeah.
You buy
every
you have day. HBO. They run freaking Babar every
sure.
morning.
Babar.
Oh, I hate Babar.
Mr. Babar.
Hello, Don. My show.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, 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 buddy.
Hey, buddy, buddy.
Buddy.
Come on, what?
Buddy, 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 buddy. Buddy, 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 buddy.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Good call, though.
We got a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All that aside, I've never been a big fan of debt.
Debt can be an asset. Debt tightens a company.
Does wonders for the sphincter, too.
The Don and Mike Show. Masters of the Taking Touch. Don and Mike.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, bringing you the Don and Mike Show west coast to coast, nationwide via the Westwood One Radio Network. Hey, have you thought about buying your tombstone yet? Before you die? Well, Don and Mike did. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Please can I get my wife on the phone?
Did you jet ski?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. All day Sunday.
50 miles an hour.
More than that.
On the water.
Fantastic. Just great. Had it out in the ocean, not just in the bay.
Cool.
Out in the ocean.
That's fun.
Oh, that jet ski kicks ass. I have to tell you something.
Hello?
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, my sweetheart.
Hello. Love you, love you, love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you, too.
All right, here's what I wanted to bring up with my wife. I don't know when she's talking to her parents and I'm involved. I don't know when they're goofing me and when they're being serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I think part of this is true, and I find it morbid. my in-laws, my mother and father-in-law, who I love, you know, more than I love my own regular parents, right? Right. Frankly, they are both consumed with death.
It's kind of normal at that.
And they are consumed with death to the point that on Sunday, we're over at my mother-in-law's house, and they are having a discussion about their tombstones.
Okay.
And it's okay, so I'm listening to this. My mother-in-law proceeds to tell me that they've already picked out their tombstones, that their tombstones are already in the ground where they are going to be buried.
That's normal, too.
And, I didn't know that, and that they already have their names on them, and the year that they were born, they're just waiting to die so that the guy can come up and chisel the year that they die.
Right.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you think that's a good idea?
Sometimes you have a family plot.
No. I understand that. We have a family plot that, you know, that...
Yeah, you have a family plot?
That whole thing grossed me out.
Yes.
Do you have a spot?
Yes!
Well, as long as he behaves.
Yes, there is a spot that has been reserved for me.
Really?
However, there's no freaking headstone there, or at least I didn't think so, until my wife said that she had already bought headstones for us, tombstones.
Oh.
And I said, honey, this is more about... First, I found it...
Okay.
Right, I found it morbid that my in-laws, you know, that like when they're going to go to the family reunion in a couple of weeks,
yeah,
big part of their day is driving to the funeral where they are going to sit by their tombstones where their names are already chiseled in and the year...
Driving to the funeral? They're going to a or driving to the cemetery?
Driving, what did I say? To the cemetery.
Ah.
Going to the family reunion seems like going to a funeral. But no, when they go to the family reunion...
They're
going to
stop by the cemetery?
They're going to stop by the cemetery, and they're going to spend some time just hanging around their tombstones.
Excellent.
Where they already have their names chiseled in and everything.
I think you've just gone into unusual land.
Isn't that morbid?
All right, wait a minute. They're just going to check it out because these tombstones are not inexpensive and it's supposed to be installed by the time the family reunion. So they'll see if it's installed properly and has the, you know, and it's been properly done.
Here's my point. Everybody's going to die sometime, including me. Even I realize that. I'm not going to live forever. But I certainly don't want a tombstone advertising the fact that eventually I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to drive out to a cemetery somewhere and see a big piece of stone that's already got my name on it and the day that I was born. I don't want to see that.
Well,
Christ.
I was just teasing you. I haven't bought one for you because...
Ah.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I want to give you a few more years and make sure this works out.
Now, have you guys actually locked in on the fact that you're going to be in a cemetery with all the other corpses?
Yes.
Because, see, in my family, we all of us, I mean, everybody that's died in my family, everybody's going to, we're all kind of the mindset right now that, you know, you just, you know, that place I go to up in Maine, got a body of water out in front of it.
You're being cremated.
That's where my father is, that's where my Aunt Mary is, and that's just kind of where, you know, and no fuss, no muss with the cemetery.
I'll tell you something that's morbid. There is a picture that my mother-in-law has of my wife.
My darling.
Hold on. It's a picture of my wife and my two sister-in-laws, and they are both sitting in a cemetery where they are going to be buried.
It's weird.
You don't think that's morbid?
That's weird. That is morbid.
The whole family is fascinated with death. You know?
Well,
and it's like my father-in-law, for goodness sakes, you know, I turned and I said to him, Pop, I don't want to hear about your tombstone being up. I don't want to hear about it.
That's kind of creepy.
He just laughs about it and says, well, everybody's going to go sometime. You know, my time might be up real soon. And my mother-in-law goes, yeah, well, you never know. We could die any time. It's like, don't say this. You're tempting fate here.
Isn't that the weird? Because you're the most, of all of us, of our little family, which you're the most daredevil-y. So, but you're the one who's afraid of death the most. I mean, we're just not afraid of it. My parents were just doing this as a smart thing to do. And
it's morbid.
We're cremated too, Mike, but with this family plot, it's just a place so that the people who are living can come and, you know.
You know, and I agree with it. You know, sometimes I think about that, and I think that's cool. I mean, my father started this because he lost his mother at a young age, and every Sunday, all the kids in his family had to go to the cemetery where his father would, with little kids, fall on his knees and sob every single Sunday. So because of that, he became anti-cemetery, and so we never had, like, a family plot or anything like that.
I'm not opposed to a family plot.
Well, I think it is cool for the living people to go see them, but I mean...
I'm not opposed to you know, going to pay our respects. My, you know, My wife's brother passed away a couple of years ago. I'm not opposed, certainly,
right,
to going to the cemetery to pay respects to him.
Right. Yep.
What I'm saying, though, is while I'm on this earth, and for goodness sakes, I feel, well, my mother-in-law and father-in-law are on this earth, there should not be a tombstone that's already planted in the ground,
right,
that has their names on it and the day that they were born, just waiting for them to die so that they can chisel in the year.
You don't know what a big industry first of all, go through a cemetery and look at all the tombstones that have that dying date left blank. And then you don't know how many people screwed up because they lived into 2000 and they already even put the 19 there.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, I've had aunts and uncles who thought they were going to not make it into the next century when they bought this thing 30 years ago, and now they're having to rub out all the 19s on the cemetery.
I got in this discussion with my mother-in-law, and it was a mistake because it's a futile conversation.
Right.
I said, what do you care? I said, when I'm dead, frankly, put a cinder block and write in magic marker my name and when I died. Because when I'm dead, I'm not really going to care if I have a fancy tombstone or what kind of writing is on there. And she said, no. You've got to worry about it now.
Right.
Because when you're dead, you can't worry about it.
I have one request for when I die, and this is a legitimate. I said this. I made this request to my wife the last time we were going to fly somewhere. I said, listen, if anything happens, I want a party. I want one party, and I want the ashes to be there, like, in an urn, the way Monty Python did.
Mike, we would get the Banana Girls for your party.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, the Malibu
yes,
twins.
Yes, absolutely.
At your house?
I figured.
Can it be at your house?
I was going to do it. Yeah, and Frida, for your
yeah, it would be the one party that everybody finally be able to invite to
it's,
Mike's house.
It's
for.
Actually going to be at my house, because I was going to do it. You know, if I was a real Irishman and I had an Irish bar that I hung out at, but since I really don't, we have to have it at the house.
Oh, good.
So you'll be happy about
it. The point of this is, it is morbid, isn't it, to be alive on this earth?
I will tell you, I think it's morbid to have the pictures of the young children sitting on their gravesite.
Wait a minute. We weren't young. I took this picture.
Wait, I got news for you. You might not want to hear this. You are young. You are currently young.
This is a picture that's like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, we've sat on our places that we're going to be buried because you have to remember to appreciate this life and to love the people that are here and to enjoy this life. Because that's where you will be spending eternity. So it's like a reminder that way.
That's gross. I'm telling you, it's gross. Every time I see that picture, it flips me out.
That's strange. And then, I don't think it's strange to have the date you were born and have, because that's actually a financial issue.
Do you understand, though, that it's not like they got the tombstone and it's waiting in a warehouse somewhere?
No, they do that.
The tombstone is already, if I'm driving out there.
That's not unusual.
I'm driving around, I say, wait a minute. Hey, that's my name on the tombstone.
They actually, they do that if you buy it. You buy the tombstone. And
that's freaking weird.
Well, you know what it is? And Frida, you correct me if I'm wrong. In many cases, you might as well buy the tombstone in 1995 instead of the year 2000 because you're going to get a better break on the tombstone.
But even if you're going to buy it.
Yes.
Okay, let's say you think you're going to die someday. You're going to buy the tombstone.
Right.
Why the frig would you want them to put it in the cemetery with the name that you're using, you know, your name, and the day that you were born?
Right.
And the year. Why would you want that now? Why don't they just say, hey, you know what? That's a nice tombstone. I'll take that one when I croak. Why bury it in the ground now?
I think, and I might have a little experience in this. I think the reason that they put the date on, because it is less expensive to engrave it in their granite shop or whatever they have it,
right,
than it is to do it at the gravesite. So it's actually a financial issue.
Even if you got to do that,
yes.
Why do you then say to them, you know what would be a good idea? Don't keep that in the warehouse. Why don't you go right out to the big hole where I'm going to be buried and plant that tombstone in the ground?
Can't answer that question.
Like I'm already dead now.
They won't keep it at the warehouse. It has to go. Excuse me. It has to go to the cemetery.
Buzz is the oldest of it.
Yeah.
He fears death the most. That's why he choked up there.
Sneaking up on me there. It has to go to the cemetery because there's no place else to keep it. And people buy it now, not only to save money.
It's gross.
But so it will be there when they die. In the case of my father-in-law, he went. His place of interment went unmarked for a while because he didn't have the plaque done in advance.
It's gross.
And then
you know what you can do with
me?
Take a McDonald's straw, take two McDonald's straws, and tie them together in a little cross, and just put them in the ground. That's fine. I don't want a tombstone with my name on it now, while I'm alive on God's green earth.
Do you know, I mean, you don't have a tombstone, but you do know that your plot is marked by 4 stones that say S for your initial.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So
you got the beginnings of a tombstone.
Really?
So there's... Oh, that's gross, honey.
Well, I mean, I knew that... to mark it so they don't bury somebody wrong there.
Is your tombstone up?
No, no. I'm not elderly, and if I die unexpectedly, I'll have to go unmarked for a while.
I would say that your parents might be very relaxed, but when they go out there and they look at that and they see their name on it,
that's a big reminder that you're going to be dead very soon.
Yeah, the reality might shake them up a little bit.
Not these two,
Mike. No, I don't think so. Because
these two are embracing death.
All my dad's brothers and sisters are out in this very cemetery, and a lot of our family there, my brothers, those are all reminders, but it's okay.
No, it's weird, honey. It's weird to have your name up on a tombstone while you're still alive.
It's not weird. It's normal.
Yes, it is.
Especially if you're in your 70s. And then what they do is they get it the way that makes them happy now, and then we don't have to worry about it.
I will give your mom and dad that. They're very happy with the thought that they're going to die soon. They talk about it soon.
So don't say that. They're not dying soon, but they will die.
But they talk
about it. Everybody will.
Does your mother talk about it all the time or not?
No.
Oh, yes?
No.
Okay, what's the first thing they do in the morning?
Brush your teeth.
No, come on. When they sit down, what's the first thing
they
do?
Say grace. I don't know. What are you talking about?
They read the obits.
Read the obits. That's every
obits.
Oh,
yeah, they do read that part of the paper. Yeah, and
you
they
see
people
you know,
all the time that say no.
You got to see people, especially if they've lived in one area for a long time, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you don't think your mom
an old preacher that they had that was in the paper today. I mean, it's always somebody.
Honey, you don't think your mom's fixated, maybe not on death, but your mom's fixated on bad stuff. Doesn't your mom love, like, telling you every bad story? Would you just tell me that your mom was telling you about some little kid that got hit by a car or something?
Yes, but my mom tells me about people in jet ski that died and this kind of thing, but that's she's paranoid of death. She's always trying to warn me. So I won't become dead. I mean, she's the opposite of that. She wants to protect me, so she warns me about every disease and sickness and death that happens. So it doesn't happen to me.
We had a bet last night. We're sitting around watching, what's that cartoon that comes on after The Simpsons?
Family Guy?
No.
Futurama.
We're watching that show. The phone rings. It was my mother-in-law, who lives next door to us at the beach, calling for... conservatively the 10th time in one day.
Yeah, and you never call me. Go ahead.
I'm your husband. She's your mother. She's your mother.
I don't say this when you make fun of my mom. Why I love you so is because you're just like her, but go ahead.
Do I call you when I'm right next door?
You call me. Yes, you call me from our house when I'm next door at Grandma's. Yes.
All right, maybe I have. The phone rings, and as soon as it rings, I said to Frida, it's your mom, and of course it was.
And you know, at Grandma's house, when the phone rings, they say, it's your husband. And of course it always is.
So
go ahead.
So my wife goes, yes, he's here. Hold on a minute. She hangs the phone. Frida said, Mom's coming over to show you something. So we had a bet. I said, okay, it's either a story about someone who's died on a jet ski,
oh,
or someone who's died from cigar smoking.
Right.
It's got to be someone who's died about something that I like.
Right.
Because generally, those are the type of stories that my mother-in-law, she'll bring over. She reads all the newspapers. She'll bring me, like, look at this. Do you know this jockey? He went crazy recently. But we were both surprised last night that she came over with a cereal box.
Oh.
That had TV trivia questions on it.
And it was just an innocent little thing she wore on the show.
That's
wow.
That's right.
That's right.
She loves you. That's why.
No, I love her, too. I just wish she wasn't so fascinated with death, man. The tombstone thing freaks me out.
You are paranoid. That's, they think you're paranoid with death. I was telling Mom and Dad, I said, you know, right after that conversation, I saw my husband run home and make notes so he could talk about it on the radio, and they got a big laugh out of that. They think you're paranoid.
It's gross.
Okay.
That's all I wanted. Oh, and listen, one last thing. When we were on the beach.
What?
Hey, when we were on the beach on Saturday.
Yes.
How close did that one couple come to actually having sex on the beach?
And worse is when you usually see that they're like 20-year-old kids and you can tolerate looking at beautiful people having sex.
Oh, gross. They were gross.
They were two fat people.
Oh, gross.
Like, get a room. There's little kids running around and stuff.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Goodbye, boo-boo.
Love you, honey.
I love you, too.
Love you.
I love you forever. Forever in this life and the next.
I love you in the next life, too.
Okay. And we will be together forever.
I believe that.
I'll show you the granite that'll prove it.
The granite tombstone.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. That's effing weird, man. it's just morbid.
Well, every person, I believe, over the age of 70
it's true.
Talks about death all the time. Well, my mom my mom with my father gone now, I mean, that's all, you know.
I don't doubt they talk about it, and they're kind of stuck on it. Okay. But the whole thing about, let's go out to the cemetery to look at our tombstones that are already in the ground.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
I predict, please let us know what the deal is with that, because I predict when that happens, I don't care who you are, how comfortable you are with the notion, how, you know, secure you are in the fact that you're going
to
die.
They've been out there to see him before. They're just talking about it at the family reunion. This is their annual trip.
Oh, okay.
To see their tombs.
So they're in the ground with the names on them already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've seen them there?
Yeah.
And they're unfazed by it?
Well, they're happy about it.
I can't figure old
people out. They're happy about it.
I cannot figure old people out.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
It's sick. I don't see how anyone can put their name on a plot and then put it in the ground.
I agree, man.
And actually be waiting for it.
Talk to my in-laws.
I must speak for the Frieda family here and say that, you know, it is part of life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, death is part of life, and you do have to plan for it. And the more you plan
yes,
for it...
Yes, you can plan for it.
Well, let me finish. Hold on.
Would you want your name on the thing and have it in the ground,
I just want to say, the more you plan for it while you're alive, the less the people have to hassle with it after you die.
Okay, but you know my answer to that? What do you care? Because you're going to be dead.
It's polite. It's a polite thing to do.
I don't care.
When I'm dead, frankly,
what they do with it.
When I'm dead, I don't care about being polite.
But you care about your wife and you care about your son.
Well, yeah.
When you're gone, you would still like your son to have an easier go of it because he would be grief-stricken at losing his father.
I guarantee you, when it is my time to go and when my son is grief-stricken,
right,
he will simply have to go through the exercise of buying the tombstone and putting my name on it because I'm not doing it.
What you ought to be is cremated and just have your ashes scattered somewhere. That's even easier.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like the thought of being buried, though.
You do? You see, that's the way people line up on both sides of that tombstone, too.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Mike and Dan. Don.
Hi, Faye.
Hello, Faye.
How you doing? I have a good one for you.
Faye,
about a cemetery.
Do you and Seymour have your plots up? I mean, do you have your names in the tombstones?
No, we're going to be buried by the army.
Oh, okay, you get the army burial.
All right, I'm going to tell you, I went to the mountains, we had a comedian, and he said that when he goes to the cemetery, he's upset seeing all those stones. When he dies, you should put his head out and they'll all know where he is.
Put his head out of the ground?
Right.
Well, what about when he turns into a skull?
He won't turn, he says, not him.
Oh, not him. All right.
Great comedian.
Is that a good Catskills comedian, Faye?
It wasn't Noodles Levinstein, was it?
You know, in our religion, we don't put a stone up until a year later, and within the year we find a place where we can have a stone made and put our date on it, and we have the unveiling a year later.
And you also have the tradition of the rocks, that you put the rocks on the stone, right?
No, we do. When we go visit, we do.
You put a rock
there. Yes.
I know a lot of you people probably think we're talking to Marge Schott from the Cincinnati Reds, but in fact,
when we come to visit...
Faye Weber,
yes.
Long-time listener of ours, right.
I love you.
Love you, Faye.
We love you, Faye.
Paul.
Love you, Faye.
Yes, I do.
Have a wonderful day, Faye.
You too. And okay. You guys have a good day, a good year, whatever you want to call it.
Thank you,
Thank
Faye.
You very
Thank
much.
You. Love okay. to see more.
Okay.
God Bye-bye. Bless you, Faye.
Bye, Booby.
Bye-bye.
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 That's our booby. Faye Weber.
Very sweet.
Faye Weber. You know, Faye would fall into that category of the plus 70 group.
And you got to know, that obituary, that's the first thing she and Seymour read every
day.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Hi there.
Well, I just wanted to call.
Hi there.
We run the gamut on this show, don't we?
Oh, we sure do, Mike.
We really, really do.
From the womb to the tomb.
There is nothing left uncovered.
Hello there.
And that's the best part.
That's the best part.
Right on. Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and let you know what happened to my dad. You know, going on with the tombstone idea.
Yeah.
I know it freaks you out, but when my dad's parents died, the father went first, so they went and bought the tombstone, had the whole thing carved in to save money, had his wife, my dad's mother, done at the same time. The name, the date, the whole nine yards. It always sort of oogled me out when I saw it, but in defense of what Mike and Frieda were talking about, when they got to the cemetery to see it installed, they had chiseled it up wrong. so that where my
they chiseled
dad...
it up
they
wrong?
Chiseled it up wrong, Mike.
You know, your southern speak sometimes gets chiseled up. You mean the engraving was not done properly?
Yes, the engraving was done incorrectly.
And how did they screw that up?
They had where the dad's information should have been was on the empty side of the grave, and where the woman's information should have been was over the dad.
Did you get him to chisel it up right?
We chiseled it up right, yeah.
Come on, chisel it. Come on, chisel it good.
Is there a chance you get out to the cemetery and chisel this up right?
Hello, Donna Meisher. And that's what I picture. You know when Fred Flintstone would read his newspaper in the morning, and when they would show the guy at the Bedrock Daily newspaper, he would have a big piece of metal and a hammer.
Right.
And he would hammer out the headlines.
I think that's the way they still do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do it that way. They have stencils and they actually just chip it out, right? Isn't that the way they do it?
Actually, on the Flintstones, I guess it wouldn't be a chisel. I guess it would be an animal. It would be like a bird with a long beak.
Right.
Because when the guy was chiseling out the headlines, at one point the bird would look at the camera and go, "This job sucks."
Yeah, a little hardier bird than the one they used for the record player.
Yeah, right. Who also talked, though.
That's right, yeah. But the one with the record player had a thinner neck than the one they used at the, you know, you engrave the newspapers.
And not to be confused with the hairy elephant that Wilma used to use to wash her dishes. It wasn't an elephant, but it had a big, long trunk like an elephant.
Right.
And
it was a woolly mammoth.
Yes. And the big, long hose part would come through the window, and she'd go, "More water, please." And then he'd go like, "I hate being here while she washes the dishes."
And didn't they have a pig for the garbage disposal, too?
In the movie they did.
Yeah, the movie.
In the Flintstones movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Buddy.
Hey, Buddy.
Hey, I love the show, man. You guys are great.
Right, thank you.
Listen, I work at a cemetery down here in Fredericksburg.
Ah.
80% of the things that families need to do are done in advance. I mean, that's 80% of the business. You don't have to put your stone out there. You can register it with a quorum, freeze the cost. Mike's right. It's an unselfish and caring thing to do to relieve Frida and Bart.
Listen.
I love it when I sound like a good guy.
I guess that Mike should just be in charge of the whole world.
Would you like me to take over the arrangements for you? I'll make all the arrangements for you.
That's right. That's right.
You can just make a note of it in your will. And incidentally, Mike will take care of it.
We'll get it chiseled up right.
Comforting your family.
Yeah, you do it today and save thousands of dollars doing
listen,
it.
Listen, who cares about saving my... When I'm dead, I frankly don't care about it.
But your loved ones will.
You've got the whole thing down.
Well, listen, you are morbid. You work for a cemetery. You're around the smell of death all the day.
If you saw the people walk in here after they just lost their husband and stuff, they're absolutely exhausted.
Oh, please. Well, listen, I'm not getting a tombstone before I die. I'm not.
But you did register it. You know.
I'm not.
I know you're not now.
Your
heels are dug in now.
I'm not. I wasn't going to before we had this discussion.
Rita's probably already gotten it for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt that, but I won't buy it with my knowledge.
You know, I always ask this question for people in unusual lines of work. What is the grossest or weirdest thing that has ever happened to you in the cemetery business?
Well, they were doing a transfer.
Bingo.
From a mausoleum to another mausoleum, and the bottom of the casket fell out.
That's why you always ask that question.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So, like,
how, 3 years.
How decomposed was the body?
It looked pretty good.
Really?
But, you know, your body's 80% water, so it sounded like a sack of wet...
God. Hey, thank you, my friend.
Love you, baby.
I love you. Not buying a tombstone, though. I'm sorry.
I think I got about 80% going with that question. You usually get something real good.
Yeah. And even if my wife does buy the tombstone, it will not be in the ground with my name on it before I die. That I promise.
Where will you keep it? In your garage?
Yeah.
In the garage, right in front of the car. Maybe you could arrange it like you could put it right where your car goes into the garage every night, you know?
Frankly, I don't want to see it.
This place reserved for Donnie.
I don't want to see it. And I'll say this, too. Plastic is fine with me.
A plastic...
Why spend all the money on the
like granite? Outdoor furniture.
Yes. You know, go to Price Club or Walmart, get me a nice, inexpensive plastic casket.
Who made the rule that you have to use granite?
And I mean that for my casket also. That's another big ripoff. There's no need to get this cherry wood $20,000 box that my decaying body's going to be in.
Well, you know, I hate the fact that I'm saying this. Do you know if you're cremated, you can not use the permanent casket.
Right.
You can actually use a casket for the viewing and also the funeral, and then when it comes time to cremate you, you don't use the you're in a cardboard box.
It's like
you
know like
what?
An egg
that's
carton.
Fine. You know what? Put me in the laundry hamper. Frankly, I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, I'm dead. Why waste $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a fancy box that you're going to bury 6 feet in the ground?
So you want the cheap model?
Hell, put me in a hefty trash bag. Really? It will make no difference to me, I swear to God.
Even if you could have anyone, you know, and you wouldn't have to pay for it, is there any particular one you'd like? Wouldn't you like the real nice deluxe one?
No, I wouldn't, Mike.
Really?
No, I wouldn't.
Rob wants his made completely out of brass, and he wants to be buried like with holding a piece of cake.
Hello.
Like Frank Gorshin. In his brass room.
Yeah, maybe that would be the one headstone that I would love for you to get me. A nice big Batman headstone.
Yeah. You could do it any way you want it.
Oh, imagine that.
You know, really, when you think, if you think in terms of this, now hear me out here. If you think in terms of what you leave behind, and the fact that if you've had a good family life and your son loves you and he's going to have kids and stuff, and occasionally, you know, even down through the ages, great, 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 if you know the family history and stuff, they want to come back and say they want, this is where your great, great grandfather is buried, and they get there.
Here's a Batman head.
You just leave a mark. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, hey, wouldn't you like to have one that stands out among all the rest?
No, I really wouldn't. Although really? I wouldn't mind being buried. If you were going to bury me in something, bury me like in a Batmobile casket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know how you can go like to IKEA and get like bunk beds for kids that look like the Batman car?
Right. Why not?
Bury me in a Batman car.
No, I bet there are people that could do it for you.
You could do that.
I'm sure that that's cheaper than going to one of these grave robbers, one of these funeral homes where they can't wait for you to come there, and they know that you're in your moment of peril, and they sock it to you.
Oh, they screw you. I mean, they really do. I mean, it's that business. I mean, they charge a fortune for a casket. And you know, but once again, though, probably have to take care of that before you're dead. You'd probably, to get the Batman casket the way you really wanted it,
right.
You probably have to do it yourself.
Can't do that, Mike.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Well, then, you know, make a little plastic car.
Hello, is this Eddie from Detroit?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, it's your number one fan over here in Detroit.
Right, hi.
Hey, I got a good story for you.
You might be buried in the movie Batman car.
I'd rather be buried in the TV Batman,
I know you
Batman car.
See, I know that. That's why you leave it to me. I'll make sure it's the TV one.
Okay, I'll call my lawyer after the show and have him rewrite the will.
Thank you. Okay, then consider when you pass on, consider that your burial will be atomic batteries to speed.
Atomic batteries to power.
Oh, see.
Power to speed.
I'll study up on it.
Ready to move out.
Okay.
Gotham City, 13 miles. And buckle the seatbelts always.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Turbines to speed.
Ready to move out.
You know, always was a ripoff about Batman.
What?
When he would leave the Batcave with Robin,
right?
You knew that they just took film of the Batmobile driving out of the Batcave,
mm-hmm.
and they played it back.
Right.
Like a fast forward, the car wasn't really going that fast.
No, it's just a television show.
I know it, Mike.
I know it.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
my grandma, you know, she passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But she had the whole thing set up where she was going to get her name put on the, you know, tombstone before she died. So what they did is when she ordered her tombstone, when they engraved it, they must have got the wrong information. They thought she already had passed away the date she ordered it. So what they did is they put her date of birth and her date of death. So when you go to look at it before they put it in the ground, she got so freaked out by this that she totally threw away the whole tombstone idea and got buried with just a cross. By seeing her name on a tombstone, just totally wigged her out, and she gave up the whole tombstone idea altogether. And we buried her with just a white cross above her burial site.
All right, very nice.
Thanks for calling. Very nice story,
too. Thank you. Hello, Don.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show. Wait till you hear what they done did. The Don and Mike Show.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Coming to you nationwide, coast to coast, via the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, and in this segment, it just says Dr. Evil Vanilla Ice sighting. I don't know what that means. Let's find out together. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Why don't we see how much sagging he does minus his mojo?
Shag, that means F, right?
Of course it does. That's all he thinks about. That is why I will achieve my goal of world domination. Perhaps if I bring your assistant, Inspector Gadget, with me.
You are just really infatuated with Charlie Broyhill, aren't you?
He has that certain something that I do pronounce as sound. Don't you agree, Mr. Bigglesworth? Mr. Bigglesworth would like to come out of the cave.
And I want to ask you, because we have to play the game, I want to ask you about one more guy.
He's run out of the room.
Uh-oh.
Find him! And it's hairless, not shaved. There has never been a razor that has touched my show Bigglesworth.
Attention, staff of CBS Radio.
It is late. Find my Mr. Bigglesworth, and I will pay you $1 million.
TSMB.
A tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
And please, make no mistake.
It is my hairless Mr. Bigglesworth. Bless his heart. He'll be back. He always comes back to me, even when I am cryogenically frozen.
Ron?
Yes.
We'll see who's here. Let me just, you know, hold on. Dr. Evil, hold on a second.
Who is here? Someone is here?
Well, no. I think maybe we could call around to somebody of offices.
That is wonderful. I would like to find him. He is very good to me, and I am good to him. Exquisite.
Plus, I wanted to ask you about some of the evil potential for some of the employees here.
That I would be glad to do.
Let me go down a list.
Very good. I will tell you. I have spoken with everyone on your staff. I am in a perpetual mood of recruitment. For my cause, evil enterprises.
Alan Linewand.
He would qualify.
He's evil.
He would be perfect for our organization. Unfortunately, it is difficult to pry him away from the ultimate evil that lurks in this building. Your fearless leader, who you have discussed previously, you would like to tear apart.
Let me ask you about someone who I believe has a good heart. And is a really gentle, sweet guy.
Ask away. I know about all of your employees. I would not be in the building if I had not done my reconnaissance and my intelligence work.
Dan Ryson.
He is good. He would not qualify as an evil employee.
Mm-hmm. All right. There we go.
This is very important. Who else on your list, please? Time is of the essence. I must know the other employees.
Hold on. We're going to call. Terry.
Very good.
Well, ask her.
Good afternoon, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry?
Yeah.
This is Don. I'm here with Dr. Evil.
Hello, Terry. This is Dr. Evil. Have you by any chance seen my Mr. Bigglesworth?
No. Uh-uh.
If you see my Mr. Bigglesworth, bring him back to me and I will put him in his cage.
Okay.
And
okay.
You are a very nice lady. Unfortunately, you do not have evil in you and you would not qualify for my organization. But thank you and have a happy day.
Thank you, Terry.
You too.
Take care.
Alrighty.
Oh, you have confused her greatly.
Is Steve Johnson here?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Steve Johnson. Evil. Very much evil.
Listen, I promise
one of my prime target.
Steve Johnson.
Steve, this is Dr. Evil in the Don and Mike Air Studio. How are you today?
Good.
Is there an outside shot that you have seen my Mr. Bigglesworth?
No, I have not.
Well, if you do see him, return him to me immediately, and perhaps we could discuss your future at the radio station. Have a good day.
Funny, guys.
You take care, Stephen.
Goodbye.
I will be visiting you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. A fine young man with a great deal of talent and ability.
What about evil?
Well, that goes without saying. I'm trying to mask my true feelings, Mr. Buzz. And incidentally, we have our eyes on you for our organization.
Oh, good.
The nice exterior myth is exposed.
You know, he's got quite the sexual past.
Yes, we are aware of that. That is what follows with evil.
All right, hold on, though.
Very exciting.
You know, hold on, let me try Nicolette.
This is Tim McWilliams at WJFK Radio. Here comes the beep. Recording.
Tim McWilliams, this is Dr. Evil. I would like to tell you that my Mr. Bigglesworth is running around your desk somewhere. If you find him, return him to me immediately. And also, I'd like to speak with you about an opening I have. Good day, Mr. McWilliams, and my best to the family.
To add to your message, dial 2. To re-record, dial 3. To play your message, dial 7.
I would like to hear myself again.
Okay, here we go, Doc.
Thank you.
Tim McWilliams, this is Dr. Evil. I would like to tell you that my Mr. Bigglesworth is running around your desk somewhere.
There we
if
are.
You find him, return him to me immediately.
Oh,
and also I'd like to speak with you about an opening I have. Good day, Mr. McWilliams, and my best to the family.
To add to your message, dial 2.
No need.
All right, let's try somebody else.
Excellent. I would like to.
All right, one more person.
Very exciting. I will say that your communications systems here at the radio station are badly in need of an upgrade.
This is Nicolette.
Hello, Nicolette. This is Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil?
This is Dr. Evil calling you from the Don and Mike Air Studio.
What can I do for you?
Have you seen my Mr. Bigglesworth?
Oh, now you are afraid to say it to her.
No, I'm sorry. I have not.
You have not. If you find him, return him to me immediately.
I sure will.
And if you see Tim McWilliams, send him to me.
Immediately.
Thank you, Nicolette.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Let's try one more person.
You will find that...
Let's try Ken.
Dr. Evil possesses a great deal of evil, but not always... That is why he only mentions fairness to the men.
I got no problem saying this to those girls.
I am aware of that fact, and that is why you are number one on my hit parade.
I'll tell you this.
Are you calling now?
Ken Stevens,
we will torture on the Caribbean island. Oh, dear. Hold on. Something just rubbed up again.
There is my
Mr. Bigglesworth.
There he is.
Here you are, bad boy. Get back into your cage. Stay there for the duration of my appearance on this broadcast.
Well.
There he is. He's purring.
There's a call for Dr. Evil on the warm line.
Exquisite.
Really?
I will speak to whoever needs to speak with me.
Hello.
Hello, you're speaking to Dr. Evil.
Hi, this is Tim, the really nice guy in the sales force.
Hello there, Tim. It's so nice to hear from you. Did you receive my message?
I didn't, sir. I was just informed by one of my colleagues that you were looking for me. For what reason?
You will find out later. I am not prepared to give you all the information you require. We did find Mr. Bigglesworth. He is now back safely in his cage and content, I might add. I would like to give him a saucer of milk. But you, on the other hand, are someone that I have had my eye and I mean eye on for quite some time.
Eye singular.
I would like to discuss career opportunities with you.
Hi, that's my favorite topic.
Absolutely, and I am sorry for your laryngitis today.
Well, it's just it's a part of me just doing too many job interviews today.
That is why he is evil.
All right, thank you for calling in, Timbo.
Goodbye, Mr. McWilliams.
Bye, Timbo.
A fine lad. A fine young man.
He'd be a good recruitment for your army, huh?
He would be exquisite. We have several back there that would really fit the bill. I'm sorry that your man, Mr. Shrinsky, was snatched away before I could get my clutches into him.
Okay, listen, doctor. Is that you, Buzz?
No, that's it. Dr. Bigglesworth.
Mr. Bigglesworth.
Mr. Bigglesworth.
Thank you so much.
I look over there. I thought I heard like a motorcycle or something. It's Buzz going...
Ah, I did not observe that.
No, that was...
May I be the first to say that is very gay.
Let me hear it again, Buzz.
The cat motor?
Yeah, let me hear it again. We were in Ocean City over the weekend, mm-hmm. in Ocean City, Maryland, and we took a drive on Sunday. We went to Rehoboth Beach. Now, as you're going up the corridor there, it's Ocean City, Fenwick Island, then you get to Rehoboth.
Progressively more teeth, isn't it, as you move up
yes.
the coast?
Yeah, there's like no teeth on the people in Ocean City.
You go all the way to the end, like to where those boats go out to sea.
They have 32 teeth in the mouth.
Wow.
But when you're in Ocean City, you got a 5 to 6 tooth average, probably. So we went all the way to where there's the most teeth.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
And it was me and my wife and my son and a friend of his and the in-laws and the whole gang of people.
Mm-hmm.
We went to eat at a restaurant up in Rehoboth. And we're sitting there having a nice, you know, boring dinner.
Right.
And, of course, because my mother and father-in-law are there, it's taken a long time. Because you know how old people are.
You mean lengthy ordering process?
No,
is that what it is?
No, lengthy eating. It's like, because, you know.
Oh, lengthy eating.
Because they never know. It might be their last meal. So they always take
oh dear
a long time. I mean, like, everyone at the table was totally done with everything. We'd even had coffee. My mother-in-law was still cutting her steak.
Uh-huh. She's you're going to get a phone call. You know that.
Oh, that's okay. It's all right. At least I didn't say I'm buying her a coffin.
Right.
So we're just waiting for her to get finished up, and the kids are off playing some video games, and all of a sudden, Bart comes around the corner and says, Dad, there is somebody famous in this restaurant. And I said, really? More famous than your dear old dad? Who could that be? He said, I don't know who he is, but we're pretty sure he's famous. Look over there in the corner. So I look over in the corner, and goddamn if it's not Vanilla Ice.
Was he holding court or anything like that?
Here's the deal. The waiter came over, and I said to him, is that Vanilla Ice there? And he said, yes, Vanilla Ice is playing at the Bottle and Cork tonight.
Oh, okay. That's a logical venue for him.
It's like a biker bar. You know, it's for bands that are either coming up or bands that are on the way down.
Sure, right.
And I was standing there talking with the waiter for a second, and I said, what's he like? And he said, well, I don't know. I don't have his table.
Right.
But the girl that has his table said that he sent back his iced tea, he sent back his salad, and then he just sent back his entree. Right? So I said, okay, well, thank you. So we're watching him. Now, this is the new thing. All we're doing is watching Vanilla Ice.
Okay.
Still looks the same.
Right.
His hair is brown now. It's not that platinum blonde anymore.
Doesn't have that, like, triangle coming out of his temple that he had before?
No, but it's that straight buzz cut. No pun intended, right. Buzz. And sitting there with a University of Miami jacket on.
Was he with a hottie?
No, he's with, like, it looked like his manager.
Okay.
Like his Don Ephraim, okay? His agent, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a University of Miami jacket on, hat on backwards, and almost on cue. We noticed him. We all start looking over at him. And then, swear to God, he goes, what the F is this? Just as loud as that, and takes his plate up in the air and down on the floor. Swear to God.
Whoa.
Like, everybody in the restaurant turns around and looks at him, and he says, you can't get a goddamn thing right in this restaurant. You can't get an effing thing right in here, man. You can't do it. I mean, screaming.
He's raving out, having a full-fledged meltdown.
Threw his plate up in the air. Plate breaks on the ground. Food all over the place. It's like in a movie when something happens and everybody freezes.
Right.
Everybody in the whole restaurant was just looking at him and not saying anything. And then he realized that. And he said, what the F are you looking at? What the F are you looking at? Right? Nobody's saying anything.
Oh,
like,
my,
oh
God.
My God. I turned to Freya. I said, this is the best dinner we've ever had. I can't believe this. So then the maitre d' comes over. This, you know, to call him a maitre d' is an injustice to real maitre d's.
Right.
He's a skinny, pimply-faced kid who's working there for the summer.
So to the type of restaurant you're in, this is kind of a casual, family-style restaurant, or is it an upscale restaurant?
It's more of an upscale, but there are families in there and stuff.
Okay.
It's definitely sitting
but it's a nice place.
Yeah, it's not diner food.
Okay.
But it's also not, you know, real fancy.
Okay.
It's like it's a normal restaurant, right?
Middle of the road.
Yeah, and most of the restaurants out there are real nice.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's just kind of looking at this, and nobody's gone to pick up the plate, and there's food all over the floor, and there was a bottle of steak sauce that had gotten tossed off the table that was broken on the floor. And so this kid who's at the front desk, the kid who says, you know, a table for how many, hold on, please.
Right.
He goes over. And I don't know what was said at this point, because they're, you know, across the restaurant. I just see him going over. And he goes, we see him go, and then we hear, get your effing hands off me! F you! And the guy never touched Vanilla Ice.
Right.
Never touched him. So the kid goes, throws his hands up in the air, and he leaves. 2 seconds later, here come two of Delaware State's finest through the door.
Oh!
His state cops came in, and they walked over and said something to him, and he left.
Oh, wow. God.
Yeah. And then after he left, it's like nobody said anything. The place was silent for maybe 10 minutes while this was going on. From the time he threw the plate.
What a floor show.
From the time he threw the plate to the time he told everybody what the F are you looking at. Said, F, get your F and hands off me. When the cops came over and obviously said, listen, you're going to have to leave. He got up. You know, and when he walked out, he walked that way. You know when a white guy tries to walk like a brother? You know when he does that? Like,
sure.
Yo, I'm down with that. Like walking out like this, kind of strutting like a rooster on his way out, looking at everybody. Yeah, what you doing, man? What you? As soon as he leaves, all of a sudden, it's like the whole place goes back to life. And you hear everybody go,
oh, sure. What did we just witness?
What was that? So then the waiter came over and he said, that's not the first time. He said that Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick turned a, turned a table over last summer.
That must be, they must have some kind of agreement where the artists get to eat in there, probably.
I think so. That must, it must have been a trade because we noticed that he didn't leave any money.
Yeah.
And he didn't give a credit card or anything.
Oh, God, that's great.
And his agent didn't tell him to stay cool or anything.
No, no. His agent sat there and looked absolutely terrified while this was going on.
Not a big enough star to be throwing those kind of fits.
Yeah, but it was great then.
A little angry probably that he's on the way back down.
Sure.
My son and his friend thought it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen in their life. They're like, I can't believe that. It's fantastic.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And all I heard all weekend was, when can we go back to that restaurant again?
Yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't happen all the time, boys.
Wow, that's a full-fledged meltdown.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Very, cool. Very cool. Hey, a round of applause for Mr. Vanilla Ice.
There he is. Right there.
Yeah, there he is right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So then the waiter came over. He said, what was the problem? He said, I don't know. The guy, first, he sent back his iced tea. Then he sent back his salad. And he ordered a steak sandwich, and he sent it back. I said, what was the problem? He said, we said he wanted a medium rare, and it was just medium.
Oh, man.
So that's why he, like, threw the plate up in the air.
Wouldn't it be an interesting world if every time you ordered something medium or medium rare and you got it cooked differently, that everybody would throw a fit like that? That it was perfectly socially acceptable to throw a fit? You'd be able to get that, like, 6 or 7 times an hour in a restaurant.
But there are, like, a lot of retired people in there that were flipped out by this.
I can imagine.
You know, like, my mother-in-law, I spent the whole rest of the night
explaining who he was.
Yeah. And she's like, why did he do that? I said, well, because he's a troubled rock star. So he's not even a rock star. He had one record out. I said, he had a record where he sampled another record. And then I asked him, what's sampling?
Oh, right.
Okay, sampling is when somebody makes a record, then somebody makes a record with that record, and they change the words. Well, how do they do that?
You know, when he was walking by, the only thing I would have done if he was really making a stage, maybe look up to him and go, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I didn't have the guts to do that. Especially the way he was walking out again. He's fist balled up. He's walking out. Yeah, you know, and just the vibe he was giving out was, you know, what you looking at?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah, have a nice show at the bottom of court. So we drove by on the way home. We went down Route 1, and yeah, sure is, there's his name up on the marquee tonight.
Unbelievable.
One night only, Vanilla Ice.
That's pretty funny.
It's a pretty wacky celebrity sighting.
And nobody, you know, nobody went anywhere near the guy. Huh? Nobody said anything to him?
Nobody. Except this Maitre D'.
And the Maitre D', I give credit to the Maitre D'.
This poor kid. And I'm not exactly saying, pimples all over his face.
Right.
And he had on, you know, the red vest and like a tuxedo shirt and a tuxedo tie. And he walked up real sheepishly. Like when it was, you know, can you please leave? Can you please knock this off? And it was obvious that someone had already called the cops.
Right.
Because as soon as he walked back to his spot at the front, two of them came through with a Smokey the Bear hat.
Yeah. But he went with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And then,
that's so cool.
Thank God Bart didn't do this. Bart said, Dad, I was going to go up and ask him if he knew you and Uncle Mike.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Because you like it when celebrities are going to ask if they know who you guys are.
We certainly do, whether it's a positive response or a negative response.
No, please, absolutely not.
Ice, baby.
Ice, baby. Yeah, you know, made my weekend.
You really set him off, you know, if a waiter walks over. Excuse me, sir, would you like more ice in your drink?
Ah!
No matter how big you are, you don't act like that.
And I just got done seeing him a couple of weeks ago on that VH1, Where Are They Now, or Behind the Music, one of those shows.
Right.
That's all they run on VH1 now.
Mm-hmm.
They run no more videos. All they have now is either Behind the Music, Where Are They Now.
You have me hooked on that. You have me. I watched that, you know, ever since you started watching that, I will, because it really is perpetual.
They 24 hours a day, that's all they run is Behind the Music on
VH1. I think you've seen the Boy George one.
Oh, many times. It's a good one. About how he had the affair with the drummer in the band.
Yes, and then when he really lost it, when he hit rock bottom and he was...
When he was all powdery and stuff that time.
And he was totally incoherent. So, and it seemed that George O'Dowd was in the middle of the press conference and would ramble incoherently, and then while he was at the press conference he would occasionally just pass out, and you see Borges going, all right, we need to go, we're getting around the thing, and we don't, we,
yeah, and then
and he
just
closes his eyes and his head goes forward.
His chin just goes on his chest. That's a good one. I missed the new one they had. I saw the ads. They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, though. Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Oh, I saw the promo for that one.
Yeah.
They look wild, though.
Yeah, the commercials really are like, you know, they did absolutely everything that they could do when they were rock stars.
And, you know, even those guys, you know, they weren't the Beatles, obviously. They weren't nearly as big as the Beatles, but they had that anti-Beatle attitude because they wanted to be the Beatles.
Right.
And they look
They look crazy. They really do.
What's so funny is when you see them interviewed now, though, mm-hmm. and they're all old, angry,
right.
bitter men, because it's 30 years after. I mean, who the hell is Eric Burdon to begin with,
Absolutely.
Right? He's a blip on the radar screen, but now he's really got, he's mad at everybody because his career is over.
He is very, very sad.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Give me some sugar. Love you too, baby. Night and night, oh, my baby. Shim, shim, shim.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting from the right side of the dirt, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike, coast to coast, nationwide, via the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. Good Monday afternoon to ye. Now, in this segment, of all the things callers call about, this one is one of the best. It's a caller looking for a sponsorship for his vacation or something wacky like that. Check it out. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, is this Don?
And Mike.
And Mike? Don and Mike, I sent you a fax on Friday. My name's Hoser. And we're having a trip down to 4th of July down to Ensenada, about 12 of us.
What is your name, sir?
Hoser.
Hoser.
Hoser. Hoser. And we got a trip going on, about 12 of us, and we were looking for sponsorship possibly, and also hopefully taking Dennis Murphy as our celebrity guest. We got a four-story beach house.
What kind of trip are you taking? You're running the rapids?
No, we're there's 12 of us going. We're going to be in Ensenada and Tijuana, and it's sort of a wild...
Who's going to sponsor you going down to Mexico and getting wasted?
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for you guys.
Well, then you get sponsors if you're like going to have some kind of competition or something.
I mean, if we have to, we're going to pay for ourselves, but we're, we're willing to do anything possible. I mean, I'm on a special path out of jail because my wife made a vow with me. She said if I didn't drink up until the 4th of July, she'd let me go any place I wanted to, thinking
there's no way
he's going to be able to do it from New Year's.
You mean you're on a pass out of jail, not literally a pass out of jail, but
I'm on a get out of free jail card for 4 days.
From your wife.
But you're drinking right now.
No, not at all.
Really?
Nothing.
You're not drinking right now?
Nothing.
I don't understand the concept of why you need a sponsor to go down to Mexico to drink tequila.
No, well, we just like to have, if you guys, we need $1,300 for the airfare.
Yeah.
The same reason he's saying you need to get out of free jail card.
No, well, we got those in English and Spanish. I had them made up.
Well, no, we're not going to give you any money for that.
What about if we take Dennis Murphy with us?
No.
No, you see, we don't even sponsor most of the time. We've been asked to sponsor, like, auto racers and stuff like that. We don't do that.
We've been turned down people doing, like, the charity stuff where they say, if I run 20 miles, you pay me $1 a mile. We turn them down.
Absolutely.
And that's like
Hayline, you know? That's right.
Would you guys be willing to give us?
It's real charity, man.
I'm one of the smallest in the group, and I weigh 280.61. So about 12 extra large t-shirts to say Dennis Murphy is a major effing star.
No. Hello, listen, this is not the Santa Claus and Easter Bunny show. This is the Don and Mike show.
We love you guys, man. Mm-hmm. We're coming to Sacramento, and I'm going to be dressed in my clown suit. Either my clown suit or I'm bringing my parrot that we taught to say.
What do you do for a living, sir?
I'm a warehouse supervisor, graveyard shift.
So you're a big boy.
How is it that you happen to own a clown suit?
Because I love to make children smile. I'm going back to school to be an elementary teacher right now.
Are you really?
Yeah. And that's another reason she's letting me on the get out of free jail thing, because I went back to school and took physical geology, and that was a toughie, and ended up getting a B in it.
I know that educators all over America right now are hoping that you get into
State a little early.
They're hoping that you get into the school system.
Get out of free jail card.
That's right.
Well, listen, I'm sorry, no, we will not sponsor you.
Nothing?
Call AA. They'll get you a sponsor.
Hi, kids.
Oh, fellas, come on. Hey, how about some VIP tickets for the show on Friday? And if we come...
No, how about you just wait in line in your clown suit like everybody else?
Okay.
Okay. Tough love. Sorry about that, dude.
Can we get Dennis Murphy to come along?
No! He will be at the show on Friday. You can ask him if you want.
Yeah, ask him personally. And, we look forward to when you start...
Is he as good looking as we think he is?
We look forward to when you start doing your elementary school teaching.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, we love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Me and all my buddies think you guys are funny.
Right. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Hoser.
Bye-bye.
I'm Mr. Hoser. Today, kids, we're going to learn Station Capitals while I'm wearing my clown suit.
Won't you please sponsor Hoser?
Hoser's taking a trip to Tijuana, and he wants a sponsor.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got my checkbook. Let me write you a check right now for $1,300.
You know, you'll see that on ABC's Wild World of Sports.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Bondi.
This is Brian from Sacramento. I'm not going to give you guys any sort of that crap, but I just wanted to know what, since, you know, I've listened to you guys for a long time, and I was just wondering, you've described your Las Vegas-style shows before in the past, I was just wondering what exactly, well, I'm going to be there front and center.
Well, then, don't tire the show down. Don't slow the show down. You're a human speed bump. I already know what you're going to say. You've heard us describe the Las Vegas-style shows. You're coming to the Las Vegas-style show. What is in a Las Vegas-style show?
Mm-hmm.
No!
Duh!
No!
Duh! No, I mean,
that's why we want people to come to the show.
Okay.
And then what we do is we do the show, and then people call us after the show, and that's where you kind of get a beat on exactly what happened.
It's like a secret society. You know, like KISS, Knights in Satan's Service?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Very similar. There's a secret handshake club, like on Andy and Mayberry.
You'll have a good time. Trust me, you'll have a good time, and then, you know, you'll know that you made the right decision going
into
the show.
I have no doubt in that.
There you go.
Okay, all right. I'll look for you next to the guy with the clown
suit. Hoser.
Goodbye.
Hoser.
Hello to Don.
61280.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, get out a free jail card. Hello there.
Gentlemen.
Hi.
Your favorite celebrity to the show was on Good Morning America this morning.
Who is our favorite celebrity to the show?
Donny Osmond.
He's all over the place.
He's doing a book tour right now.
I think he's coming on the show next week.
Oh, good.
Great.
As a matter of fact.
He talked about what you guys talked about 3 weeks ago. Has anxiety, getting up on a stage in front of a live audience.
Yeah, he's got a book now. As a matter of fact, his publicist sent me a copy of the book, and I started to read through it over the weekend. It's got, like, some pretty interesting stuff, keeping in mind that it's a Donny Osmond book and that Donny Osmond never does anything controversial.
Right.
He writes about one time when he hated being Donny Osmond.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he must have really hated all those bits that we made him do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a period in his life where, no, because it was right around that Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat when he was kind of coming out of that.
Well, because he writes in the book, like, that he hated being Donny Osmond. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we put him in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile,
and
we had a giant PA system, and we made him drive all up and down the Lee Highway saying, "I'm Donny Osmond, don't you wish you were me?"
And the first time he came on the show, you actually, you know, had it all queued up, puppy love, all ready to go when he walked in.
Pissed him off.
But, you know, he's always the nicest guy. Really, really genuinely nice guy.
So hey, hold on. I want to tell you, hold on just a second. In this book, he writes that he went into a gas station with his family. I don't know when this was. It was between when he was in the Wienermobile and when he did the Joseph and the Dreamcaller. And some kids pull up and they say, "Hey, you're effing Donny Osmond, F you." And he writes that he flipped out and he gave him the finger and he said, "F you. Go to hell," all this bad stuff.
Yeah, that's surprising.
He talked about that on the show today, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he also talked about going to a dealership. This is back when the family lost like $30 million, and the car dealer guy said that he didn't think he could afford the car, so he went back to the bank and got $15,000 in $1 bills and came back and slammed on the guy's desk.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having Donny Osmond come on so we can get all this stuff, because every time he was on our show, on our old morning show,
right,
he was one of our favorites. He was on all the time, but we never got any dirt from him at all.
No, he's a good guy. Really, really genuinely nice guy.
We would always ask him stuff like, "You ever see Marie naked?" You know, and that's when he always go, "Hey, guys, come on now.
Knock it off.
Guys, hey, Donny, stop it now."
But I'm glad, you know, that he's doing well. He's a really nice man.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to tell you, you entertain me every day, both you guys and Buzz. I wanted to give you a proposal to take you on a golfing trip to Augustine down in Stafford, all expense paid trip.
Well, thank you very much. That's very, very nice
course.
Of you.
I don't know if you ever played it, but we played it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I have played that course. A beautiful golf course.
It's unbelievable.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Mike loves going on day trips with our listeners. I know Mike's too modest to ever mention that, but most days Mike is out with some listener of this show.
That's where he is. Yeah.
He's either having lunch or playing golf. Or
well, thanks. My secret's out now.
This is an excellent proposal because this is the nicest course, one of the nicest courses in Virginia.
That's right, and that's why I'm not accepting it, because it's the nicest proposal.
It's too nice.
It's too nice. It's simply too nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Pardon me?
How old are you? How old are you?
14.
We will not sponsor you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How you guys doing? I love you guys.
Love you.
What would you like us to sponsor?
Hey, did
what?
Did a YouTube pussy see One Life to Live today or what?
No, we were having our meeting with Ken. We couldn't watch the show.
You call us, but you're watching the show, too.
I don't watch that show, you moron. You really didn't blew it.
Hey, man.
Joke.
Hey, man.
You had a chance, and you blew it.
Got a lot of anger in that guy.
On this soap opera that we watched before the show, it's like... They must have come up with these characters when the TV show Dallas was popular.
All the way. Absolutely.
Because there's no doubt that Asa Buchanan is supposed to be J.R. Ewing's father.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the two brothers just like J.R. and Bobby Ewing.
That's right. That's right. They're the Buchanan boys.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Oh, it's awful entertainment. We love watching it, though. Every
Bo
day.
And Clint and Asa.
And Clint is the guy that in real life... He's one of these soap opera guys that like made millions of dollars. He bought a farm somewhere.
That's right.
He was on his tractor. Oh, this is so funny. Were we just knocked off the air?
Are we okay?
Are we on the
you're
air?
On. Everything all right? Oh boy.
All the power's going fruity here because we're having some kind of a lightning storm.
Is anyone home?
Hold on a second. This guy that plays Clint Buchanan, he's driving his tractor. He got thrown off the tractor.
The tractor started to tilt over. He decided that he would jump and try to get off the tractor. The tractor righted itself and turned and ran him over.
Ooh, wow. He got run over by his own tractor. How funny is that?
Ouch. Back on the show now.
And he's not been the same since he's been back on the show.
No.
His screen time is very limited.
That's right.
He like comes on and almost does cameos where he just goes, "Hi, Paul."
We've worried about him since he got run over by his own tractor.
And his hair is very Ronald Reagan-ish now.
Absolutely.
Also.
And it always looks, he always just looks pale.
He looks like he just got run over by his own tractor. Run over by his own tractor. Guy jumps off the tractor, and the tractor still runs him over. Jesus. How funny is that? That's so funny.
That's Asa.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello there.
Don,
yes.
I live up in Baltimore. I was wondering, is there anyone, I'm looking to refinance my home. Could you sponsor someone for that?
See, now the sponsorship calls are coming in wild and woolly.
Was that commercial I did on Friday, Robbie?
Yeah, I guess that did start running.
One of my commercials. Mike.
You have a commercial running. Congratulations.
Why, yes, I do. Thank you. Thank
what
you,
what is the commercial?
Don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just read it. I don't know what it is.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, is it Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Come on. Hello, Don and Mike show, please.
That's another one of our 14-year-old callers.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Listen, I'm driving down North Carolina. I'm trying to pick you guys up. I'm from the D.C. area.
Well, good luck.
Where's the next closest place? I'm driving to Florida.
Buena suerte. We wish you the very best of luck.
Good luck
best
on that.
Good luck.
Yeah, good. We're not on in North Carolina, are we? No stations in North Carolina.
I'm terribly sorry, but good luck to you.
Well, driving to Florida, where's my next stop?
Oh, come on, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey,
hello.
Guys.
Hey.
Hey, this is Brian from Winchester.
Yes, hello, Brian.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Hey, I'd like to get sponsored for my summer camp.
All right, what are you going to audition with?
I'm going to let Mike choose either Aaron Neville or James Earl Jones.
I'd like to hear Aaron Neville, please.
Aaron
an
Neville.
Obscure one, and I'd like to hear Aaron Neville.
Is this Aaron Neville singing?
It's got to be singing.
Well, certainly.
All right.
Okay.
Look at this man, so full of inspiration. Look at these arms, so full of perspiration.
How's that?
Well, we don't have any Aaron Neville, so you're in, sir. Congratulations.
You started a new chapter.
Bravo.
You know, I haven't heard you accept someone into summer camp for a long time.
Aaron Neville, we need more Aaron Neville, so congratulations. You're in, sir.
Great. Are you going to send the bus to pick me up?
Yes, I will. I'll drive it myself. It'll be a van.
Now, will this guy have to supply his own wart? Whatever that thing is on Aaron Neville's face?
No, he doesn't have to supply anything. All he has to do is surrender his shirt when he gets off the bus.
That's right.
That's it. Every single member of the camp has to take the shirt off when they arrive at the camp. They simply take it off and it's all set.
But you learn how to make a Keen wallet.
You may make a wallet. We're also going to do candles and ashtrays this year. Now, they might say ashtrays. That's kind of old news. It's not really politically correct, but now we do it with ashtrays.
Ashtray.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
A good time for everybody. Good time was had by all.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike radio guys.
Hey, buddy.
Got to see the Jack Diamond Band playing at the Alexandria Waterfront Festival.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. Good to have everybody out here.
Thank you.
First of all, they were all wearing long sleeve white shirts, which were soaked about 10 seconds after they got on stage. And then they proceeded to walk around in them, soaked through out after the show, walking around with, you know, leaving nothing to the imagination underneath.
Is there anything funnier than a disc jockey that fancies himself as a rock star?
Is there there anything more pathetic than a disc jockey that fancies himself as a rock star?
Yes, one that does it and the band doesn't let him plug his guitar in.
There you go.
That's right.
Remember, Rob saw it. This guy, Jack Diamond.
Hey, I'd like to do a solo for you right now.
Oh, we spent so much time talking about this guy. One time he was talking on the radio about how he's going to be opening for the Moody Blues.
That's right.
So Rob went to the show. And as it turns out, he wasn't on the stage.
Right.
It was like out where they sell beer and stuff.
Yeah.
He was on like a little plywood stage. He didn't have even have his guitar plugged in.
They did a Moody Blues song, actually, but I don't know what was worse, him singing Any Way You Want It, That's the Way You Get It in your radio voice, or the woman that was singing with them who best should have shoved the tambourine down her mouth because she couldn't play it or sing it either.
Very sad.
Oh, that's embarrassing. That gives all disc jockeys a bad name when other disc jockeys get out and try to prove that they're singers.
Very clever, boys.
Thank you so much for coming out here. Yes, we're opening for them on a little square box. A little building block outside right next to the refreshment tent.
This wasn't much better.
Thank you. But remember, we got kind of a truce with that guy because during our last fight, remember, he did call in.
That's right.
And he apologized.
He did. So it's you know, right now, we'll honor that.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, any way you want it, that's the way you need it.
Me, is this plugged in?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Chicago!
A little tribute to George Michael.
Ah, George Gimple. Hello. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Oh, all right. Got one more for you, Mike.
Hello?
Here's an impressionist camp tryout you've never heard before. Johnny Mathis.
Ah, Johnny Mathis. Very close to Aaron Neville, though. All right.
Ready?
So, but what's your name, sir?
This is Bob.
Bob?
Yep.
Okay.
Chances are because I'm well, I feel good.
Oh. Ah, no, this is your guy.
Oh, my God.
Now, are we in agreement that this guy's out?
Give me a minute.
Oh, I thought we had an agreement that all these guys were off the show.
Well, you see, he's auditioning for the camera.
Oh,
right
no, it's just a ruse to get back on the show.
I don't think this is funny.
Yes, you do. Now, are we in agreement that all these singers are done?
The regulars?
He's your number one regular.
That is my number one guy.
With my...
All right, that's enough of that. That'll be quite enough of that. Okay. There he is, and his trademark burp.
Yeah. His trademark.
His trademark. His trademark. That's his signature. It's his signature bit.
As for him by name. Now, we're done with all those guys, right? All the singers, though?
I didn't know that you had made that rule. Not make that rule when your guy called in last. You did not make that rule.
Okay.
You simply make the rule when my guys called in.
Okay, no. I thought my guy called in, but then your guy called in after that.
And that's when you made the rule.
No, you agreed, though.
Did I?
I think you also said... My boy, these guys are kind of slowing the show down now. These guys just call in and want to sing.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want an exemption, you want to keep them.
Yeah, no.
You know, tap your show.
Oh, these decisions. You know, after meeting with Ken, what am I going to do? I don't know. I can't make these tough decisions. It's very difficult.
Okay, then he's out. He's out.
You wanted him dead. He's dead.
No,
he's not. He's old. The material is old, and that's fine. I can accept that.
Okay.
I can accept that now here, gentlemen.
We have to do a break, and then we'll be...
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, that sounded pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for cart machine number 6. It has effectively stopped the show. Here, let's try this one. Pleased to be listening. I'll be right back.
Becoming a father, huh?
Yeah.
We've been waiting over 3 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How about you?
About a month.
A month? That's all?
Well, I'm something of a famous radio personality. I guess that greased the wheels a little.
Bill's a plumber.
Hey, my name's Bill, too.
Well, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, sure we do.
Goodbye, the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike, Coast to Coast, Westwood One Radio Network. So there it goes. Cart 6 screws us again, but that's okay. We're moving forward, ever onward. Now in this next segment, who wants to be a millionaire? I believe that show's coming back in July. I can't be sure, but little known facts about who wants to be a millionaire on the best of Don and Mike.
I read the funniest article today in the, I think it's the London Times or the London Daily Mirror.
Right.
I don't know, one of those newspapers that I read on the internet from London, because they had a story about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Right.
Of course, the TV show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, it originated in London.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, the idea has been swiped. And it's been used by countries all over the world.
Okay.
Well, of course, in America, since we do everything the biggest and the best,
mm-hmm.
the show's the biggest success here
right.
than it is in any other country. And this is the only country that's had a $1 million winner.
Mm-hmm.
So this newspaper in London wrote a gigantic hate article about how bad the millionaire show is in America mm-hmm. as compared to how it's done in Europe and London.
Oh,
and
good.
There were a couple of facts that I thought were fantastic that you had to hear. For instance, do you know that while they are, according to this article in the London newspaper, while they are taping the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there are no time constraints on the contestants to answer the questions.
Right.
They have had contestants take 20 minutes to answer a question.
Right.
There is heavy, heavy editing. That
really?
An average 23-minute show is over 4 hours long.
Oh, my God.
That because they don't have a rule that says you have to answer within 30 seconds,
right.
they've actually had contestants.
Incredible editing, man.
They've had stupid American contestants sit there for 20 minutes and think about it.
That's just so, that's so wrong. The whole idea of coming up with the answer is coming up with it quickly.
While Regis just sits there and looks at the person who's answering the question, and the audience just sits there.
Want a lifeline? You want to take the... Oh, hey, that's
which is why, you know, the edits are so chop, chop, chop on that show. Obviously, you know it's edited, but I had no idea that the average show is 4 hours long, and they have to chop that down...
That's amazing.
...to 23 minutes. I mean, 4 hours long when you consider...
I mean, it's choppy editing, but it's a credit to their editing, because I had no idea it was that long.
Right. Furthermore, each episode... Once they get 4 hours with, like, people taking 20 minutes to answer a question,
mm-hmm.
and it's also said many times they try to call somebody up for a lifeline,
right.
they have a 20 to 30 minute delay trying to get people on the telephone.
Oh, so it's not like these people are briefed before they go to tape that you might get a phone call, so be at your phone.
Right, no, absolutely
they
not.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
So, the average episode, 4 hours of tape that they have to cut down into 23 minutes.
Right.
For each 30 minute episode, it takes approximately 16 hours of editing time.
Oh, God.
Which is why they could not just go in and bang these shows out.
Oh, that's horrible.
One right after the other.
I'd love to compare that to Jeopardy.
And the newspaper said that this is where the show's going to have problems when the show goes on 2, 3, 4 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that us, the stupid Americans...
And they, you know, even when that guy who won the $1 million said, that's my final answer... Even that's too slow. I think it's just too slow. Yeah. I think it would be much better. And they'd protect their big nest egg. That's what they're all obviously worried about. If you just had it rapid fire, you know, you said you have 5 seconds to answer the question.
But is that the greatest? And that's a story that I've not read.
That's great.
In any American press,
right?
No American newspaper.
No, it's been this incredible honeymoon, you know, because it's popular, because it's getting ratings, so they're just kissing everybody's butt.
But this article in this London paper just trashed it. Big picture of Regis on the front, and basically said, what a doofus Regis is. That Regis doesn't know any of the answers. That Regis has to be schooled on the pronunciations.
Of course he does.
Before
yeah.
they go on the
He's
air.
Mispronounced so many things. I'm sure that he is briefed on pronunciations before he even gets on the air.
And basically just how dumbed down
mm-hmm.
the entire show is for us, the great unwashed, the great United States of America.
What is the most popular ice cream topping? Is it butterscotch? Hot fudge? Sprinkles? Would you like a lifeline?
And then they have the fourth one. You know, the one that you know is obviously wrong.
Which to me is an insult. Like, why do that? Why go through that exercise?
But I mean, even then, think about this.
Yeah.
That the stupid contestants
have to go,
are taking 20 minutes.
And don't forget the other disclaimer that's at the end of the show. Portions not affecting the outcome have not only been cut, but in some instances, recreated.
Recreated.
Oh, my
now
God.
That's just wild. You have to think about that.
Yeah, the whole thing has to be recreated with Regis. Wrong camera. Regis!
Wake
Regis.
Up, Regis!
Wrong camera!
Well, now, who can blame him if these people are taking 20 minutes to answer his stinking question?
Yeah, but I also think that a lot of that editing time is not necessarily always the contestants as much as old Reed. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
President Richard Nixon.
Regis, take again, please.
Rich,
Oh, jeez. I was out at 21 last night.
Well, I'm going to try to pull that up today during the show.
That's
read
great.
The whole article because it's fantastic.
You know, those British tabloids, they're pretty nasty.
They hate us over there. And I don't know why, because all we've done is save their ass.
That's true.
Year after year, war after war, and all they do is emulate us. I mean,
They liked us over there. When we went over there, they thought they liked us.
Okay, so let's say that we did steal the idea from the show from them.
That's okay.
Okay, but still, you know, where'd the whole idea of being a free society come from?
That's right.
Right here, baby.
That's us. And, you know, when the Germans were, knocking on the door, WW2, it was, the U.S. of A to the rescue.
Right. Let's face it.
Big time.
In the world, the way the world is set up, it's USA,
mm-hmm.
then Canada is
right.
pretty much USA part two.
Of right. course.
Britain is USA part three.
Of course it is.
That's the way the world works.
Sure. They should love everything about us.
Now, here's a guy who says he was on the Millionaire Show. Mike.
Yes.
You were really on the Millionaire Show.
I was.
Were you one of the 10 people that didn't get selected?
Actually, I was one of the people that did get selected.
Really?
The reason I was calling you guys is... you are dead right about the British tabloid people. I mean, they are so jealous of this whole thing. They have completely exaggerated a lot of these things. So
you're here to defend to make things right as far as this article, to correct some things?
Well, I don't necessarily feel like there's a need to make things right, but I mean, there were some things that were completely blatantly...
like what?
Hold on. Before you do, let me ask you, if you were really on that show, how come you didn't call us? Like the day you were going to go on the show, man.
There was a heck of a lot going on. I knew about 8:30 that night, the night before on the Tuesday, that I was going to be flying out there. And by 8:30 the next morning, we were on a plane.
So we were not on your priority list.
Well, I did actually mention you guys, but they happened to edit it out.
Did they really?
No, are you lying?
No, I'm lying about the mentioning you guys. I'm not lying about having been on the show, though.
Okay, so you really were on the show. And what can you tell us is true and what's not true?
Well... some of the things that aren't true, 4-hour episodes for a half an hour episode is absolutely outrageous. I mean, the longest episode, the longest total time for a taping for a half an hour show that I have heard of, including the one I was on, was about an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay,
but even that.
And that's not camera time. That's from the time they began the taping with the audience to the time that the audience left the...
What about what they wrote? The contestants get as much time as they want to answer questions, and one idiot actually took 20 minutes.
Well, that's true. However, we were told the longest time that someone waited was about 15 or 16 minutes, but the 20-minute one could have been... in the last week of the show.
Let's speak to the...
that is pretty dumb.
Let's speak to the most important part of this, and that involves the host. Does Regis screw up as much as one would think he does?
He wouldn't admit to it.
But you were there. How many retakes did you have to do because of Regis?
Well, actually, one retake I had to do was when they announced my name to go to the center. A lot of people told me I looked extremely surprised, but... I'd actually known for about 3 minutes because he called me Mark instead of Mike the first time. it took about 10 minutes for him to have the producers explain to him exactly why we had to retake it again. But,
How much dough did you win on that show?
$64,000.
Did you really?
All right. You know, I tell you, you know why I think this is legit? Because on these shows, there are so many people from our area that go up
there. Yeah, lots of people from the D.C. area.
Absolutely.
Actually, on the show I was on, there was a guy from Falls Church and a guy from Gaithersburg.
So what you're saying, though, is that, at least with your experience, it doesn't take 4 hours to tape a show, but... that the contestants are allowed to take as much time as they want to answer.
That's true. I mean, there isn't a timer or a buzzer or anything like that, and, you know, sometimes they actually encourage you to, you know, be patient and think it out.
To hem and haw a little bit and add to the drama because they want to drag it out. They want to fill their time.
Right, and they say if you do take 10 or 15 minutes, they'll edit it down to about 2 or 3 minutes. But most of what they're editing out is you just sitting there.
How did you end up losing?
Well, I've been given a lot of grief over that because there was a question for $125,000 that I kind of felt like I knew the answer to, but it's hard to explain. When you're sitting in that chair, you're so nervous that you can think you know something and you don't, so I decided not to go for it.
Would you have aced it if you had?
And of course, good old Reed had to ask me what my guess would have been, and it turned out to be right, so it got a good picture of me slamming myself on the head for that.
But. What was the question?
It was, all right, get ready to make fun of me here, but it was, what animal is pictured on the caduceus? which I had never heard the word caduceus before.
Me either.
Me neither. What is it?
It's the medical staff with the snakes entwined around it, and that's all I could picture in my head. But, you know, I've never been sitting in a chair.
So your answer, the right answer would have been snakes?
Correct. And
well, who knew what a caduceus was?
Yeah, that's I'm not going to make fun of you. I would have bailed on it, too.
Well, you know,
but see, that's my whole problem with the show, that this guy shouldn't have been given the opportunity to look at the question first,
right,
and then decide if he wanted to bail out.
Right.
Well, you know, no offense, I'm glad you won the $64,000.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the first time I ever saw the show, I took me a while to really catch on because I couldn't understand why they got to see the question first. But
so you won $64,000, and you were at you get to a certain level, and then you get to keep that money, and then you go up.
I think it's 32.
Yeah. What happened is I got to 32, then I got the next one right actually on a guess. So if I had missed that caduceus question, I would have been knocked back down to 32. And I know.
Okay, so you got to 64 and you bailed.
I got to 64. I saw the question. I wasn't 100% sure, and I got conservative and bailed at 64.
Mike, finally, did Regis touch you in any way?
He touched me a couple times below the waist.
Of course.
he was actually pretty cool. You could tell he was a handful to work with. I think a couple times he was screaming for Gelman.
Is Gelman there when he's doing that show?
No, but I think his name was mentioned a couple times.
Oh, really?
I think his engagement party was after the show one night or something.
he's difficult, right? Regis is difficult.
If I was having to work on the show and have to deal with Regis, I can imagine he would be. But
all right, so Mike, from your understanding, it takes about an hour and 45 minutes, not 4 hours to make one of these shows, but the contestants do get to wait.
Well, not only is it an hour and 45 minutes, but that's including all the time when they're changing the set or getting ready to reshoot something, because they do have to actually pull that podium in the middle out of there when they're doing the questions with the 10 people. So there's a lot of, you know, often you got your 15 or 20 minutes delayed.
That's good insight. I like that.
Well, pretty interesting. Thank you, my friend.
You got it.
Thank you, Mike.
Very cool.
All right. Well, that's Mike, who was actually on the show, who wants to be a millionaire, so he says.
And he didn't, you know, obviously he's been on the show. He didn't want to slam Regis, but if you read between the lines Regis is like, where's my water?
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Video gods.
Hi there.
Well, I wanted some information and help. I've been a DJ for about 15 years, and I'm a lousy one.
All right, well, I appreciate the fact you're honest about that.
I'm just not good at it.
Who is this, Jack Diamond?
Let me tell you something. By saying what you just said, you have distanced yourself from a large group of disc jockeys.
Well, I'm sure. They all think they're so good, mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. I just sort of go blank, you know, and I'm afraid I might say something that'll embarrass myself.
That's the key, honey.
You don't want to embarrass yourself, you know?
Of course you do. Why not?
Yeah, well, when you think in the time that just this show, that Don and I have been doing this show, the depths of embarrassment that we have both suffered, it's amazing.
Listen, I'm sure you already know this, but I'll tell you, the greatest moments in radio come when you speak and do not think.
And just let it go.
Just when you say what you really think.
I want to tell people off, but I'm afraid like they'll get mad at me or something.
Right, and don't you know that every time our show goes into a new market, that's the first thing that the program directors do. They call up and they say, oh, you know what? I can't believe that Don and Mike tell their listeners to go to hell.
Right.
Don and Mike hang up on people. Don and Mike are rude to people. You know what? We treat people the way that anybody else would treat them in everyday life. If you had some moron calling you at home, you wouldn't keep him on the phone and go, hey, I take you. Hey, you're my best buddy.
No, you hang
you know what
up
I mean? You hang up on him.
Yeah.
So I urge you to do the same on your radio show.
I was listening to a country station the other night, and they had a one of the disc jockeys doing a phone bit. And this guy was so, it was making me laugh simply because I was putting that guy, if he was on our show, this caller that was calling, is going, yeah, we love you, Daddy. You know, one thing you matter. And the guy's like, really? Okay, great, fantastic. And I was just, I was laughing because I was just picturing that guy on our show where it would just have been a funnier exchange, you know, where we would ask him questions like whether he was drinking or not. And, you know, it was amusing.
Well, you know, you just have to be brave, and I've listened to you for 5 or 6 years, and I keep thinking, I'll get brave, you know, and...
Be brave, honey.
South, they come down there and kill me.
I thought, hey, listen, good afternoon, everybody. This is Betsy Ross, and I want to tell you, I'm... from the Civil War, man, that's right, I'm... and it's 2 p.m. That's how you do it.
Got any...
You know, people to remember your name.
I'm Betsy Ross. Hey... 4 o'clock.
I don't don't know if I can get that brave. I'll try.
Are you working currently?
Yeah, I'm kind of in country right now. And
yeah, that's a tough format to do that.
All right, well, you can make some jokes right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why, sure.
You know, why don't you start your next show with how all you rednecks doing tonight?
Yeah, they would get some calls on that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, listen, you don't take chances. You're not going to make it in this business, honey.
I can tell.
I heard you.
You have to get brave.
Right. Talk about your body.
Oh, yeah. All right. You guys are wonderful.
Do you sleep with listeners from the request lines?
I have before, yeah.
That sounds very good. Go on with that.
It was always a big mistake.
Hey, and incidentally, just in case you're wondering... Oh, God. I'll be a 100 caller right now.
Well, I don't know if I can do it or not.
It'd be so much easier to be a woman.
Oh,
my
yeah.
God,
oh,
to be a
yeah.
woman in the radio business.
Just getting those ratings, you know, just
Jesus Christ.
And of course, you know, and you never have to really sleep with the listeners. You just offer to sleep with them. You know,
right.
Take the 10th caller right now, you know, get the person
yeah,
on
right
live,
now.
Give a phone, but, you know, hi, Betsy. Hey, how you doing, Lamb Chop? Ready to go out with you? Fantastic.
Yeah, you're the big winner.
Yeah,
the big
that's
winner.
Right. And then you do that old thing you used to do when you'd meet listeners. You know, you basically have them stand on the street corner and meet you, and then you check the guy out. If he looks like a you know a real hunk, you meet
stop
him.
The car, and if not, then you just keep going.
Keep driving by.
That's true, yeah.
They would call up, and I'm talking about old house frows. I'm talking about big fat pigs.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, they would call up. I would talk to them and say, okay, listen. There's a Burger King down on 15th Street. He's standing on the corner.
Right.
I get off the air at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be driving by at 12:30, and I would always lie about my car.
Yeah.
I say, I have a gray Lincoln Continental. And at the time, you know, I'm driving a maroon Opel. And I would just pull by, and you know, you see a pig standing on the corner. You go, oops, another bad call.
There you go. It'd be a lot of fun, especially for the country listeners, you know. Hey, imagine all those hardworking guys,
they
you know.
I would hope they would be the lucky one, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's right.
You never have to really follow through with it, you know, if you don't want to.
I wanted to.
It'd be great fodder on the air. You know, really, I am so tired of playing these country songs that I've got to sleep with one of my listeners. Tonight. Just come out and tell it like it is.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, well, take this advice.
I will.
When is your next shift there?
It'll be, I'll be working on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon?
Sunday afternoon. Are you a part-timer?
Yeah. See, I'm part-time. I'm not good.
Mm. Okay. Then you better start your show on Sunday by announcing you're topless.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then I'd get some listeners that stay tuned.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, especially in the country format, so you're topless and you didn't go to church that morning.
Yeah,
boy, won't that'll put you on the map.
All right, Debbie, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Betsy Ross.
All right, well, whenever we can offer help.
I think that was a ton of help.
You know, there is an actual sportscaster on ESPN News named Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross.
And, like, not as a goof or anything?
Just her real last name is Ross.
I guess.
Or you know, who knows? You
it could be a made-up name.
Right,
but,
exactly.
But just ridiculous. Hi, I'm Betsy Ross. Welcome to ESPN News.
I think I've heard of that name. I think I've seen her, actually.
You ever watch CNNSI?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know who's a real minx? You ever seen Nancy Newman?
No. No, I have not. If I have, I haven't made the connection, you know?
Yeah. She's good.
I was watching a morning reporter here locally in Washington on Channel 5, doing like a news report. I'm not sure what her name was, but I was trying to catch the name because, you know, it's so rare in local TV
to see
news.
Somebody hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nancy Newman is very hot.
Nancy Newman. Yeah,
Nancy Newman.
Newman.
And she does a queer thing whenever they sign off, like at the bottom and top of the hour. She always has this little wave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she does.
A little cutesy wiggle the fingers wave.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
Very, very, very doable.
You find yourself pulling the chair closer and closer to the television.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello, Newman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, Newman.
I think she's hotter than, what's her name? Susie Colbert. On ESPN.
You know, I see so many of those women, but I don't see the real hotties that you're talking about.
Susie Colbert, if you're going to rate women,
yeah,
really she's maybe a mid-4.
Right.
But for ESPN, she's pretty hot.
There's a blonde lady on Headline News that is on during the middle of the day, I believe. And
I never watch Headline News.
She's got the sexiest mouth I've ever seen on television.
You ever seen Melissa Stark on ESPN?
No.
Okay. She's cute. I mean, she's really, really cute. She kind of looks like a grown-up Christine Kerner.
Oh, really?
Charlie and I saw her on the sideline at a Redskins game.
Not good. The TV was kind to her?
She has a boy's body.
Isn't that amazing what television does? I mean, television can take certain body types and face types and make them look better.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people like us that TV can take and just destroy.
So Melissa Stark, we saw her. We were disappointed in her, right?
Not we. You were.
I think Larry was, too.
Well, that's Larry.
So you still think she's hot?
Yeah, I do.
Even in person?
Even in person.
Mm-hmm. Don't you agree, though, that her body was, like, non-existent?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. There's not much there.
So she didn't have any chest at all?
No curves whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Butt was flat.
But she looked athletic, though. She looked like she was in shape.
I guess she's in shape. She's not fat
right.
at all.
Okay. You know who's an absolute pig? Who is that beast on ESPN?
Shelly Smith?
With the red hair.
Shelly Smith.
Oh, my God.
I'm so out of the loop on this when you guys are mentioning names because I can't pin down. I watch ESPN, but I can't remember.
Reporter on ESPN who they send out like the 49ers camp and stuff.
Right.
And they always have the shot of her standing in front of the logo with the windblown hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just a mess. Just red hair, freckles, big.
She's no Charlie Steiner, right?
Big, sloppy.
She just shaves.
She the female version of Charlie Steiner on ESPN?
Yeah,
absolutely. And who was the one that was at the stadium last weekend? That was Susie Colbert. Yeah, I think she's the hottest woman at ESPN.
I think she is pretty. I know who you're. That woman I know. I got to remember these names so I can participate in this discussion next time it comes up next year.
You know who maybe is the ugliest woman on ESPN, though, is Linda Cohn.
Yeah, but Linda Cohn...
No,
you ever checked
Pam
out the,
Ward.
You ever checked out those guys? Okay. Okay, Pam Ward is a man.
Linda Cohn is so competent, I think. Really, I do. I like her so much.
I'm just evaluating her
I know.
As a woman.
I actually don't think of her as a woman when I watch because I really think of her. Would you not agree that Linda Cohn has elevated herself to... She's really one of the guys on
No, she's like a man anchor.
Yeah, she really is. She does that. You know, she doesn't... I don't notice that...
You ever seen her gums, though?
Yes. Oh, that, yeah. When she smiles...
What a horse mouth she has.
The teeth are somewhere down around her belly button, you know, and the rest is gum. It's true.
We got a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show. Smoother than Bacardi Limon. Don and Mike.
Bacardi Limon, that's right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike, Coast to Coast, via Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. Now, everybody, don't worry, Don and Mike are on just a little vacation. No trouble here. Now, getting back in the best of, John Madden visits the show via the telephone. It's the best of Don and Mike.
This is simply the greatest weekend.
Yes.
Every year, the greatest weekend. Better than the playoffs, better than the Super Bowl, because at this point,
right,
it's all in front of us. You know how I tell you when I'm reading a book? I hate reading a really good book, because when I get to be three-quarters of the way through the book, I start looking at the number of pages left, and I know that it's going to be very short, a short amount of time before I'm done with the book.
We are at the beginning of the novel now, the season filled with hope.
Ah! Do I love it? And this is the first weekend of NFL, and joining us now... He's our favorite guy in the whole world. Now, I don't know if he's in his hotel or on his bus. We'll find out in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, the great John Madden. Hello, John.
John, hey.
How you doing?
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Yeah, well, it's always a lot of fun, and I'm on the bus right now.
We were at the Atlanta
Falcon practice, and we're on the way back to the hotel now.
Fantastic. That's so cool.
So you mean even when you go to a city... You don't camp it or anything. You take the bus everywhere, right?
Yeah, we do. We go out to practice and we'll go back to the hotel and then we'll go see the visiting team, which is the Minnesota Vikings. We'll go see them in the bus tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we take the bus to the game, of course.
Now, you get a brand new bus every year. I think we've asked you this before. Are you on a brand new bus this year?
No, this is a new one that I got in the middle of last season. I mean, we get one about every 3 years rather than every year. This is a third bus. This is a third Madden Cruiser.
And John, I know everybody all the time kisses your butt and tells you how great you are, but I want to tell you why you strike a nerve with a guy like me. I'm watching you and Pat do the Dallas-Denver game a couple of weeks ago, and you hear all this talk from everybody about meaningless exhibition games. They don't count. John Madden just says at one point, it's like halfway through the first quarter, totally out of the blue. Summerall's talking about it's third and 10. They're in the shotgun. John Madden says, you know what? This is really great. And I immediately knew I keyed into what he was saying.
Right.
He's saying, hey, you know what's great? These are guys playing football Who cares if it's going to end up being Scrubs playing in the fourth quarter? It's Dallas versus Denver. It's real football. Couldn't agree with you more, John.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, and you get to a point, and you guys were just talking about how this weekend is the greatest weekend, and I feel the same way. And you get to a point where you have to have it, and you just can't live without it, and that's what I think football is. I mean, it's been away long enough, and now you get back, and you say, doggone, this is pretty doggone good and a heck of a place to be.
I think, you know, you have two times a year that are great. This time of year before the season starts, and then, of course, I know you get jacked up. We talked to you last year around Thanksgiving, which is another great time when things are just starting to really heat up.
Well, you know, they're really kind of the same. Is one, the thing that's so great about now is everyone has a chance. Like you guys were talking about, it's fresh. You don't know who's going to win. Everyone is optimistic. Everyone's feeling good about themselves. Fans all over feel that this is going to be the year for their team. That's one feeling. And then after Thanksgiving, you have the playoff thing. This team's going to make the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. So now is the beginning of the regular season. And after Thanksgiving is kind of the beginning of the postseason.
Hey, let me ask you one real football question. How do you think that Shanahan handled the thing with Bubby Brister?
I think that he thought that the life after John Elway was going to be a simple adjustment, and he found out there wasn't. I think that he had too much confidence. He had too much confidence. Himself, his organization, his team, his system of football and all those things, and didn't have enough appreciation for what John Elway really brought to that team. And I think really felt that, well, all we have to do is John Elway will retire, we'll put Bubby Brister in there, and we'll continue to go on and not the beat. And it's not going to be that way. I mean, it's going to be an adjustment that's going to take, I think, this whole next season. Because John Elway was such a fixture on that team. I mean, he was such a great player, and so much history, and so much confidence. I mean, you would think with John Elway, if something went wrong in the first quarter, the second quarter, you were on the team, you'd say, ah, so what? John will get it straightened out in the second half. When the third quarter, John will straighten out in the last 2 minutes. And when you don't have him, and then things start to go bad, you don't know when to panic. You know, with John Elway, you always know, okay, we don't have to panic. Now, when Bubby Brister's in there, I think guys are in the huddle and they say, is it time to panic? And I think maybe there's a little of that.
How many years now have you worked with Pat?
This is Pat and I's 19th year.
Wow. 19th year. Then when you guys have stuff come up, like when you were doing your preseason game against Dallas, when they were doing the cut-ins where they had, I think some of the Cowboys cheerleaders were driving like this old stagecoach, and there was a cut with them saying, happy NFL, back to you, Pat and John. When you guys came back, you started getting on a riff about how that could have been the Madden Cruiser way back when. All that stuff, and Pat goes right along with you. That's all off the top of your head, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not rehearsed, I'll tell you that. Nothing is. No, that's just a thought that, that's the one good thing and the great thing about working with Pat that I've always said, is he makes you feel so comfortable that you can say anything. And a lot of times it's just whatever you see, it comes to my mind. I really don't edit. It just comes right out.
You know, if there was no football, and I don't know whether I asked you this before, or maybe it was asked before, I'm not sure it was, if there was no football, what would you see yourself doing? If you weren't involved in football as a player, as a coach, what would you see yourself as as an occupation next in line to football?
I'd be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been, that's what I was before. And then, when I first started coaching, they would hire you as a teacher, and then you would coach.
Right.
But I think I would teach handicapped children. That's what I'd teach.
I enjoyed
that part of it.
Being a teacher really is a great, that's kind of a great lead into being a coach, isn't it, actually?
Well, yeah, and in those days you had to be, and really that's what a coach is. A coach is just a teacher. And we need more of those, and I don't mean to give a speech here, but we need more of them in high school football. I mean, that's where the whole thing starts. I mean, all of football and its future, its strength is going to be in the high schools, and it seems like you know, I mean, we're doing things for youth and we're doing things for colleges and endowments and alumni, and, you know, pros are getting, you know, public money for stadiums and everything, and the high schools are forgotten. And I think if there's anything that should be done, it's for high school and high school teachers and high school coaches and high school players.
We'll go back to that game you did, the Dallas game, because that's the only time I've seen you guys in the preseason. The one other thing you said that just cracked my butt up, and you caught it before even the cameras did. It was on a kickoff. This guy for the Broncos, he's coming down the field. He gets pushed out of bounds. He gets his helmet knocked off. The guy comes back on the field and goes down and gets in on the tackle, and the guy doesn't even have his helmet on. Well, John Madden starts screaming out of his mind, oh, I got a guy here. I got a guy for the All-Madden team. Will you really keep that guy in mind seven months from now?
I already got him. He's going to be in the All-Madden
team. Oh, fantastic.
Oh, that's fantastic. Who do you think's going to be, who do you think the biggest disappointment's going to be, and who do you think the biggest success is going to be in the rookie class coming into the NFL this year?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's probably going to be a couple of those quarterbacks, on both ends. I think, you know, Tim Couch may be a surprise, but he really shouldn't be his first player draft. I think Cade McNown will be, you know, considered a surprise. I think the others, Culpepper, for example, may be on the other end because they really just take their temperature too soon. And, you know, you draft a quarterback, and to be honest, he really doesn't have a clue until about his fifth year. Although they can play in those first, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, but they really don't put the whole thing together until they've played for 5 years.
Are you playing fantasy again this year?
Yeah, we're playing fantasy again. In fact, we draft tonight. And Pat's still upset because he thinks the thing was rigged. We only have 10 teams in the league, and Pat's team drafts 10th. Well, you hear him say he just said it was rigged because he pulled his name out first and then put it last. I mean, but that's the way you do drafts. Now, as luck would have it, and he thinks I intimidated someone, and I swear as we talk right now to everyone on this bus, and everyone said I didn't intimidate or cheat or do anything, I have the first pick in the draft.
Before I ask you a question about our draft, who were you looking at without giving anything away to anybody who might be in the league sitting there with you? Who are you looking at for the first pick?
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of people who are looking at Fred Taylor. That's a name that comes around. A lot of people are talking about Terrell Davis. You know, that's another name that's right up there. Some people are mentioning Steve Young, and then you got your favorite Brett Favre. So I would think I'm going to tell these guys here because the guy that has the number 2 pick, our producer Bob Stenner is here, and the guy that has the number 3 pick, Mike Roig, is here. Okay. He has the 3 pick. The bus drivers, Willie and Joe, they have the 5th pick. They're listening to me.
Oh, I got to see.
And the 10th pick, he doesn't care. He's reading the newspaper.
So you can't give
anyway,
a lot away.
So, but I'll tell you, I think, but I don't know yet. And they're looking at me not like I'm not going to tell them.
All right. Let me ask you one last question about our draft. In our draft, which is tomorrow morning,
right,
we had a bunch of guys who were able to protect 2 players from each team from last year. So a lot of the good guys are left. But of the players that are left, let me give you a brief number of guys that are left. Ricky Williams, Keyshawn Johnson, Curtis Martin.
I think Fred Taylor is
Edrian
protected.
James, Fred Taylor's protected. Out of those guys, out of Keyshawn, Ricky Martin, Edrian James, and who knows what I say? Curtis Martin, did I say him?
I think you said that.
Out of those guys, who would you take first out of those guys?
Keyshawn Johnson.
You really would?
Yeah.
That's who your son's going to take, right?
Well, Mike, now you've just done the same thing to me that John Madden didn't want done on the bus. See, John, my son has the 2nd pick in the draft, and it's been kind of a secret that as Mike just said, that he wants Keyshawn.
Oh, yeah, it's a real state secret. I've really blown the entire draft,
though. Do you know who knows besides you, Mike, in our league? Nobody.
Well, you shouldn't have told me.
I shouldn't have told you.
You know,
that's right. I just saw him last Friday. I was down there. I went to the Minnesota Viking Jet game. In fact, I talked to Keyshawn after the game, and he really looks good. And I think Vinny Testaverde, you know, I mean, he's his go-to guy. They lost Wayne Krabat, so he's even more a go-to guy than he was before. He was a go-to guy because now he's the only go-to guy. And I think in this league, in any league, I think you want a player that's on a good team and that throws the ball and is the go-to guy.
All right, last question, John, and then we'll let you get back to the hotel. How is the food down in Atlanta?
Well, you know what we did? We had to pick a bunch of, you know, a bunch of places. And, you know, they said, well, you can go to this place. There's a sandwich place. There's an Italian place. There's a Chinese. There's this and that. And then none of those sounded like Atlanta. Then the guy said, there's a barbecue hut. It's not even a restaurant. He said, it's a hut. So I said, now you're talking. I mean, when you're in Georgia, you got to go to a hut. So we went to the barbecue hut.
Beautiful. Well, John, listen, you are the greatest. We look so forward to hearing you and Pat do the Minnesota-Atlanta game. Thanks for calling us from your bus. Hope we get you on again this year.
Well, Don and Mike, it's always my pleasure.
All right, John, thank you very much. John Madden, everybody.
Hey. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, the great John Madden. Now, that's how you kick off an NFL season.
He is always, like, one of the greatest guests we get. He always comes to play. And, you know, he's sitting on the bus with his producer, with Pat Summerall, with the bus drivers. That's the kind of guy he is. And he is as into fantasy football as we are here at this show. It's very cool. I love it.
And now let's say hello to the man who made that interview possible.
Here he is.
The man who finally has learned the pressure that comes with being on this show. Rudy, now I want to tell you something. I busted your balls over the last month. Now I'm going to kiss your ass a little bit. That is a major league guest for the first week of the NFL season.
Don, not only did I owe it to you, I probably owed it to you double. So get
him on again this year around Thanksgiving time then.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll try to get him Thanksgiving week when I do that, all their turkeys.
Rudy, when you meet with him, and you know, when Rudy goes to these games, he spends a lot of time with these CBS guys.
Yeah, and they're in Atlanta, which is now Rudy's backyard, so right. He's probably met with them this week.
We're going to go see him tonight. They're doing their NFL draft tonight.
Is Madden always as nice as he appears? I mean, every time we've talked to him, he's always the same guy that's on TV. Is he pretty much always that way?
In private, with some of the guys, he might get upset in a production meeting. Don, you were there. He gets. Remember, he was a little silent. They all look to him for approval on anything. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, I remember a couple years ago, Rudy took me to a production meeting.
Right, I remember
where
I got, you were about that.
I got to sit in with Madden and Summerall. I got to sit in with them while they were having their pre-show meeting.
I remember you were the most excited I ever heard you.
It was amazing because Madden was like a coach. I know right. They have a producer, but yeah. Madden sits in there, and right. He tells the guys what's going to run where, and he's a real, real freak about getting everything done absolutely perfect.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, good guy, John.
No, that's true. And John, I would say, generally, is the same way. He loves to be, you know, one of the guys as big as he is. Yeah. And, you know, that bus is really his home.
And he knows when he's coming on the show, too. I mean, I think what he is, really, and, you know, you guys have both seen him behind the scenes, he's just a pro. I mean, he really, whether he's going on a radio show or he's going on TV, it doesn't matter. He always gives you the A material, and he always gives you the John Madden that we all know and love. And I think that's that shows that he's a true professional.
Yeah, you know, 10 years ago, people were saying, yeah, Madden's been on too long. His act is getting old. But I think Madden even heard those remarks. And he jumped his game up a little bit each year where he tries something different. Sure, there's some of the same stuff. But, I mean, he'll work at being a little bit different.
And when it's 40-0 and there's a pigeon on the field, there's nobody I want in that broadcast booth.
I'm telling you, when this guy's helmet came off, Madden sounded like his head was going to explode. He was like, oh, my God, did you see that? And he's way ahead of the guys with the cameras because the guys with the cameras didn't even have that. All right, well, Rudy, you delivered. Great job tomorrow. On your here in your column in USA Today, I see you write that we'll have our friend Jerry Glanville do Sunday. He'll do his first show on the CBS. And you got the usual Yahoos getting together on.
He's with
on
your
Fox.
Other good friend Randy Cross.
Oh, we hate Randy Cross.
But you know, I'd like to have Randy come on one time this year.
No.
And see if he isn't better.
You don't want to give him a chance, like on the new slot in the pregame show. You don't want to watch a little Randy Cross and then see if you can have him on after the fact. No chance of you changing your mind.
I hate Randy Cross.
Yeah, he's going to be out of the broadcast booth and in the pregame show.
I know, I hate him. His big toothy grin. And with Randy Cross, here's the thing with him. No matter what team he's analyzing, here's what he says. Just pick a team at random, Mike.
Okay, Minnesota Vikings.
I tell you why, with the big teeth. I tell you why Minnesota's not doing well. When we were with the 49ers,
yeah, the greatest team in the world,
we would run this play to perfection.
Big teeth. I hate that.
Well, he had hit my column today, boasting about his 49ers Super Bowl ring.
Oh, but, man, he loves to do that.
Listen, maybe Craig James can impress you, and he'll be on later in the season.
I like that guy. He's good. I see in your column you got all those guys. Of course, you write about Monday Night Football. You got Jimmy Johnson. Really? Oh, I guess not. It says squash thoughts of Jimmy Johnson going to Monday Night Football after the season.
Well, the number one rumor that I felt was that the day the Dolphins got eliminated from these playoffs, that Jimmy would be announced as being in the Super Bowl booth for ABC because they're doing the Super Bowl this year. But Chris Mortensen says, no, Jimmy's back in a second childhood. You know, he got married. Now he's working less, technically, with Dave Wanstead there in Miami. And he looks like he wants to stick around.
Yeah, but with Jimmy Johnson, it seems like 1 week to the next, you really don't know what he's going to do.
Well, that's right. That's right, Mike. Because if they lose to the Broncos and start going downhill, although I do have a tip on the Broncos, guys, if Don whatever asked.
All right. Before we get to the tip, I just got to tell you one thing I'm reading in your column.
Right. Yeah.
And this is the biggest mistake that ESPN has ever made. They are replacing Mike Tirico, who's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know their two-hour NFL show on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're replacing him with Stuart Scott. As the host of their NFL show.
Forget it.
Rudy, ESPN has lost a viewer for those 2 hours.
Hey, Rudy, have you ever interviewed Stuart Scott?
Just with him a week and a half ago.
Was he Mr. I Am So Serious? I think I'm the most serious-minded sportscaster in the country. When we interviewed him, I've never seen a guy take himself more seriously.
He's getting to that stage that maybe you guys were like 8-10 years ago, just kind of breaking in at a real big time, and it struck him too much probably.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why this is all happening is that Tirico is now going off doing other duties like golf and other stuff, and he's doing his Thursday night football and college game.
Oh, that's a mistake, Mike Tirico. He's a great broadcaster, and he's great there.
And he's great on golf, too.
In the studio. He's great on that NFL show. And I swear to God, I'm going to punch the wall every time Stuart Scott insists on saying, booyah.
Well, he may not say that on that show.
You
like Sterling Sharp more than him?
Yes, I like Sterling Sharp more than I like him. Yes.
See, I like Stuart better.
Although Sterling Sharp's got a little Randy Cross in him. Because every time Sterling Sharp talks about somebody, he mentions, of course, when I played for Green Bay, I was the greatest receiver ever. All right, Rudy.
Okay.
Great segment this week. What is your nugget? Something we wouldn't have known if we were not talking to you, the guru of TV sports.
Okay, how about this? Don't look for those Denver Broncos to do a three-peat. Turns out John Elway wasn't just a great quarterback, but he was a great team leader in the locker room. And they've kind of fallen apart in the locker room. Dave Shanahan's having trouble keeping these guys together because a lot of veterans are realizing they're not going to get their contracts redone to their satisfaction, and a lot of grumbling there. So let's see what happens even starting Monday night.
All right. Thank you, Rudy. Great job. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Rupert.
Okay, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. There he is, Rudy Martsky.
Remember, he's a workaholic. It's USA Today's Rudy Martsky.
And, of course, your serious sports fans would know that the coach of the Broncos is Mike Shanahan.
Yes.
Not Dave Shanahan.
Did you say Dave Shanahan?
He said Dave Shanahan.
And will no one give Bubby Brister the respect he deserves? You've been a big fan of Bubby's ever since you saw his mother when he was with Pittsburgh.
That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. When Bubby Brister played for Pittsburgh, his mother would sit in the stands and she would wear this cheap t-shirt that said, I'm Bubby's mom.
Yeah, like with a turtleneck and all these NFL pins on it.
Bubby! Well, the great John Madden, and we thank him for his time. We got a break, then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Kramer.
Hey, George.
Lily.
No, Susan.
No, it's Lily.
I think I know my own name.
It's Susan.
Hey, you look like a lily.
The Don and Mike Show. They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. Well, it's been a fine Monday for us all, hasn't it? George with you, saying this last segment, it's all Kathy Lee Gifford, and we know how much we love that on the best of Don and Mike.
Kathy C. Gifford,
yeah,
on the David Letterman show last night. It was a puke fest.
From New York, it's The Late Show with David Letterman. Dave's guest host tonight is Kathy Lee Gifford.
And right here is where my eyes started bleeding.
No opening gag either.
Right. Yeah, right. She just came out.
Right.
Oh, you mean they didn't...
For the announcer.
And the CBS Orchestra.
That's right, Noah, and now a lady who...
Right.
And now, the Lee Gifford!
That guy, that howdy-doody announcer of Letterman's.
And the Planet Audience, which I knew... I mean, immediately you knew this was some sort of fan club. This is... On any of the late-night shows, you don't get this kind of response unless it's your... You know, your super fan club.
Your people.
Yeah, your people, which she did with the Broadway show, and she's done with this.
Well, Jay Leno gets this, but Jay Leno, like, has a guy who goes out and throws out T-shirts 2 seconds
right.
before he comes out.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Oh, I mean, please. Listen to this.
All right, she's very deserving of this ovation.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Right now, I'm ready to barf. Look at that lime green dress.
And then the band gives her a little oomph.
And she did that little dance that like made all the lumps jiggle.
I could let you go on all night. Thanks, yuck. Everybody. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to The Late Show with David Letterman. I can't tell you what an unbelievable honor it is for me to be the first woman to ever guest host the show.
Oh, cheap goose right there.
What a mistake, Letterman. What a mistake, Dave.
But I understand if I'd had a couple more drinks at a certain NBC cocktail party back in the early 80s, I could have been the first woman to do a lot of things for Dave.
That's the first time that you're going to hear that a lot.
Yeah.
For Dave. Where she puts on that fake, like, Marilyn Monroe voice.
Yeah, because she's such a sex bot.
I could have done a lot of things for
she's
Dave.
The woman. You know,
for Dave.
If you listen to her her basic total cavalcade of self-promotion, you will get the fact that she is the diva of show business, and also you will get that she is the incredible woman that all men desire. That is those are her two little themes.
Frankly, ugly story. So we'll go right here to the present, and let's say we all know it. We have a double standard in our culture today, and we probably always have, and maybe we always will.
This is what I found to be the best part of the show. The most uncomfortable part, where she was trying to stand out there
yep.
and read jokes off cards.
Yes. She's reading jokes off cards. You hear, you know, once you get the playback, you hear the little...
If I were a man hosting this show, all I would have gotten all week long, hi, everybody.
Right to the balcony.
No, it's true.
A shout out to everyone who has Depends undergarments on right now.
Yay, and her voice, you listen to her vocal quality. It's basically, Graveyard Shift Denny's heavy smoking waitress style. I mean, that's really what it is.
And also very much like she talks to Cody.
Right.
A lot of this is when she talks to the audience like she's talking to a small child.
Hello, you people out there, you people.
Yeah, that's part of her song, too. You know?
Yeah, you people.
You people, you people. I do it all for you.
You know, right. I would have gotten, if I were a man, I would have gotten from everybody, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? But guess what everybody asked me all week long? What are you going to wear? Okay, how's this, all right?
Yeah, and then she shows that potato sack that she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, she was braless, right?
There
was some kind of support in
she said
head.
On the Regis show today that she had a bra on.
Oh, of course. Hey, they need support.
That the trick is to wear a bra and have it not look like you're wearing a bra.
Ah, okay.
I got it at this great little sweatshop downtown.
Yeah, and then her fan club members out in the audience just going,
Jason, joke about it, I can joke about it, right?
Right.
You all know that Diva. Dave has used me and abused me a lot.
Oh, honey, he's not even come close.
You know, the audience being like, yeah, abused you, yeah.
Well, it's only because Letterman has got, you know, a for her that he hasn't really cut her open.
Absolutely.
He's never really
no.
gone after her, even when she had all the sweatshop stuff, with all the stuff with GIF, with the stewardess.
That's right. He low-pedaled it.
Yeah, he sure did.
I didn't hate all of it, I'll tell you. But through the years he has, and I just want all of you to know that I do not hold a grudge. I am not that type of person. And when the producer called me to ask me to be the host, I had to be honest with him, and I said, listen, I just got to tell you, I don't watch the show that often.
You're hearing it on the radio, I got to tell you, her dry, straw, dried out, parched voice is highly annoying to listen to. It really is.
It makes me wonder what other part of her might be dry and parched.
That would be a good quiz.
She really wanted to give people what she wanted, what they wanted.
Sure.
That's what she did. She just come out and just lift that dress up over her head and go, "Hi, everybody, I'm Kathy Lee Gifford.
Take a look at this.
Here you go. What do you think of this?
Take a look at this.
See the bearded clam.
Oh, God.
Hi, everybody.
It starts to speak on its own.
God, it's hot down here.
You got to get up so early. Go to bed so early, so you get up so early. I said, no. No. But it is really great that Dave's back and he's doing so well. He'll be back here again tomorrow night. But I am really happy to be here because this is a great change for me. I get to fill in and sit in for a cranky, overpaid prima donna instead of sitting next to one.
I mean, I just want to tell you, this audience is such a plant. You'll hear them start laughing before she even gets to the punchline because they're all so, oh, Kathy Lee. Oh, you're just wonderful.
And you know, at that point when she said that, Regis is in bed with the covers pulled up to his neck already.
Crying.
Next to his pruny wife. And he's just going, oh, Joy, that bitch.
I made her. I made her what she is.
You hear that? How dare she?
Well, she's got a lot of nerve. You know, she's got taking the gig they asked me for.
Regis, settle down, Regis.
Oh, come on. How can you settle me down? You.
Right, because she's such a comedian.
You know, I think I can understand that she takes this opportunity, I mean, really, to just really nail Regis. I mean, she, you know,
that's the only reason she did it.
That's right, absolutely.
Because she knew it'd piss him off, as evidenced on their TV show today.
It's so nice. It made me feel so much at home. The hairdresser just said to me, she says, it's so nice to work on somebody that actually has real hair.
You know, she's a little up to you. You're a little Shirley Temple in there, too.
I told you. It's like talking to a little kid, like baby talk.
Open heart surgery. I mean, I know. I was really surprised. Who knew he had a heart?
Kathy! Fan club!
But I am not here tonight to male bash. I happen to love men. I love them. But let's be honest. Yeah, you too. Even you.
Oh, you're so funny off the cuff.
And let's all be honest, men and female, all of us tonight, let's be honest. You men, when it comes to pain, are wimps.
Listen, I'm
really, thank you.
I'm about to kill myself. Why don't we go right ahead to where she sings?
You know, I guarantee you conversations out in the lobby with the fan club. I really think she's better than Dave.
I think she should get her own show.
Absolutely.
I really do. And why Regis is on that show in the morning, I don't know.
I think we know now, finally. Finally, she proved herself. We love you, Kathy Lee!
So she goes through, I won't make you listen to all of the other bad jokes that she tells.
She read.
And the hyena-like response that she's getting from the senior citizens in the audience.
And the fan club, because it was not just the senior citizens. There was a contingent in there. It was some young, I saw like several rows of young men. That seemed to be enjoying it.
I noticed that.
Well, she is just marvelous.
We loved her on Broadway.
And I was the first night of her Broadway show. We were also in the front row of the David Letterman show when she hosted.
So she gets done with these jokes off the cards. Mm-hmm. And then I wonder, what's she going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Because Letterman normally goes and sits at his desk, and this is where he does a bit.
Right.
Or like he, you know, talks to Muji Bar and then Sandstorm or whatever the names are. But instead of doing anything clever,
right,
instead of sending her out with a camera or having her goof on herself, she decides that she's going to sing that ridiculous song that she wrote after Giff was in the tabloids for being the stewardess, and she was in the tabloids for employing the kids, paying them 10 cents an hour to make her Kathy Lee Cal clothes.
And I will tell you, this speaks to the entertainer that Kathy Lee is. She gave the audience rehashed, tired material that she had done on the Regis and Kathy Lee show. She couldn't come up with anything that was, you know, in any way. Even the writers couldn't come up with anything.
I'm sure they came up with some stuff.
She probably vetoed it.
And she just said no.
I just want to sing my song. It's really, it's fantastic.
And you got to appreciate the song on two levels. First, how poorly written and self-absorbed the entire song is.
Oh, about, it's a study in self-worship.
About the poor little rich girl.
Yeah.
Poor Kathy Lee.
Yeah.
Poor Kathy Lee that the tabloids put her in this position. Poor Kathy Lee. But also, listen, she really cannot sing.
No, she can't.
She can't. Now, she has one of those fakey where she I don't know how you describe that, but what Mike just did, that's exactly what she does.
Oh, absolutely, and that's how she gets through it, too. And this really, more than anything else, this is simply a woman who is so passionately and deeply in love with herself that she has to sing about it.
So here it is. This is maybe the worst moment in the history of the CBS television network. Somewhere Ed Sullivan
is
standing up and screaming.
Who the hell is she?
Because I have a perfect life. They put you on a game show and you lala out of tune.
Listen to that voice.
It's swell. They put you in commercials and you promise folks the moon. It's swell. You sell.
They put you in commercials.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let me just stop it right there.
Yeah. Right.
They don't put you in commercials, Kathy C.
Right.
You put you in commercials.
You scratch, you claw, you push out of the way,
right.
You self-promote, you wangle your way into all the right bedrooms, and you get your commercial.
They put you next to Regis, and you talk about your life.
They.
You fight so much together, people think that you're his wife. Well, you sell. They put you on the cover and say you're crying the blues. It sells. They say
that's
you're
the part you're talking about, right?
Yeah, right there.
It sells.
I mean, where she has to shake her whole body because she doesn't have the, you know, the vocal control.
And just the whole melodic progression of this song.
Right.
It's like, seriously, if you have a kid that's like Mike's age, 4 or 5, if you had a bunch of little girls up on stage and they were singing, this is the type of music that a little girl would be. It's like JonBenet Ramsey music.
Right.
There's nothing sophisticated, but this is, at best, this is carnival music.
Yeah, and the lyrics, you know, I think, didn't she write these lyrics for herself?
Yes, she did. Yes, this was her protest song.
Yeah.
And for a while, she wanted this to be the theme song on Regis and Kathy Lee.
Right. They put you in commercials. Oh, that's good. That makes me look really good.
They do this to me.
All right.
Ryan the Blues, it sells.
No.
They say you're leaving Regis. That's supposed to be news. It sells. They put you on the cover and say your marriage is over. They put you on the cover and say your husband's a rover. They put you on the cover and say your kid is a brat. You once were anorexic, but now you're getting fat. Again, and the source, of course, is always a close personal friend.
Oh, this is now, what we're hearing now is the sad, sad story of Kathy Lee Gifford. And as we said when she originally sang this song on the Regis and Kathy Lee show, if it really bothered her this much, you know what she'd do? She'd say, you know what? I quit.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
If it really bothered you that much, you'd quit.
No, she is passionately the public eye, you know, the eye. She's in love with the eye.
Oh, yes. Back to the eye.
She loves the eye. She loves herself, and she loves the eye. Those are her two passions.
You're battling with Rosie and pills. The next day you're going broke because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you've had. And now you're close to suicide because it turned out bad.
Ugh. Oh, it's a horrible voice.
How do I stay alive with all those cancer scares? How do I keep on smiling when greeted by those stares? How do I manage sanity when facing all the...
She's asking herself these questions.
Right.
You know, it's not like anyone else. Somebody else didn't write this. She wrote this for herself.
Right.
The self-love is... I don't think there's any performer in media today that loves herself more than Kathy Lee. It's
absolutely
incredible.
Not.
How do I manage motherhood and keep those awesome thighs?
Well, what kind of human being it takes to actually write a song about yourself that talks about, you know, you manage mother and you have great thighs.
And to have the go on the Letterman show and sing it.
Yeah.
And not doing it as a goof.
Right.
Keep in mind, this is not self-parody that she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get that impression. She's coming out and performing the song.
Absolutely, and this is someone who, I was going to say, not only loves herself more than anybody else in the world, I truly believe, but also is so lame that she thinks this is what people want to hear.
And she thinks she's talented.
Mm-hmm.
She really does.
Yep.
Who cares? Who cares? There must be something missing from somebody's life when they'd rather read about the plight of Frank Gifford's wife.
It's just so tough being Kathy.
Poor Kathy C. Mm-hmm.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.